much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, hello. Do you want to be amazing? I hope so. Here's some tips to get you started. Don't do this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Roll your nuts. Don't be such a putz. Who wants cancer on their ball? Let's grab your sack and roll your nuts.
Why don't you go and ask Noah's Ark in Armenia Mountain? Still exists there, but still is not even is still frozen.
I will accept whatever you offer me in this moment, okay? And I'm going to ask you, and then I'm going to be done with it. Are you high?
Hey, if you can't be adults, then you don't deserve to be called adults, but children, because that's what children are, and you'll be treated like children.
Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
Well, that was disturbing.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's very big of you to admit these things.
Roll another one.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
Just like the other one.
I'm very sad. Please stop talking.
This one seems to be about.
Turn that song up, that's my jam.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
That ain't cool, man. That hurt my heart, man, to see that.
Roll another one.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Just like.
So dramatic.
This one seems to be about tense.
I call shenanigans.
I don't have another sense.
Oh, yeah.
But the bull guard that joins.
I call bullcrap.
Just pass it around.
Can we start now?
But the bull guard that joins, my friend.
Why not be? This is America.
And now,
let's do this. Time for a Hollywood makeover. Meet Kevin.
I'm looking forward for this makeover.
He wants to romance the ladies like James Bond. One problem, though, Kevin. Your style screams 00.
Our feature presentation.
That's pretty funny, 00.
See what he did?
That's clever.
They sure make a lot of people on Kevin losers. A lot of people on TV that are named Kevin losers, don't they?
It's almost exclusive.
Yeah.
Almost probably 95%. If you name Kevin on TV, you're a loser.
They're sitting in the writer's room and they go, all right, we need a dumb guy name.
Yep.
Somebody says, Kevin. Like, all right, that's it.
That's perfect.
It's just crazy. Somebody needs to do a supercut montage of all the dumb Kevins on TV. It'd be a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
And radio, too, I guess, for that matter.
Sure.
Hey, speaking of Why Not Being This Is America, I am told by producer Dave that the International Man of Mystery, Doto, arrives back in the United States today.
USA! USA! USA!
So hopefully we can catch up with him next week and find out where his travels have taken him. I guess he's been all over Asia since the last time he was here. It's been gone for months, you know.
What would he need him for?
He's fascinating. That's why we need him.
Yeah.
He is fascinating. So I'm very excited that he's back in the country. I think that's exciting news.
Yeah. That's like, so we got a good 2 to 3 weeks of work to get him on the show. But
right.
After that, we're going to have a lot of fun.
I don't know why it's so difficult to get that 5 minutes going. We have a lot of Kevin and Bean show to tell you about, but I want to start with this story from Findlay, Ohio. Findlay, Ohio, by the way, home of Ben Roethlisberger. That's where he's from. But it's in the news right now because there's a man in Ohio who vanished, disappeared in 1988. In 1994, he was declared legally dead. No one could find him. Family didn't know what happened to him. Fell off the face of the earth.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't say that he faked his own death, but it does say that he moved to Florida from his home in Ohio because he was trying to get away from all the child support that he was behind on.
Ah.
He owed $26,000 in child support. Now, I don't think you could pull this off today because we have a thing called the internet.
Yeah.
And I think if you're living someplace else with it, you know, somebody's going to be able to find you because you're going to have a paper trail somehow, right?
Yeah, especially if you use your same name and same credit cards and all that, they could find you in a day.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how sophisticated this guy's financial setup was. He may be a guy who kept all of his cash in a coffee can for all I know, but he apparently was living fairly off the grid. Well, he returned to Ohio a few years back and has recently decided that he would like to reinstate his Social Security number, which was taken away from him once he was declared dead, and maybe get a new driver's license.
Okay.
So he went to court, and the judge in the Hancock County Probate Court, Judge Alan Davis, says it's a strange situation. We've obviously got a man sitting in a courtroom that appears to be in good health, but there's a 3-year time limit on changing a death ruling. So I am unable to do this for you. I don't know where this leaves you, sir, but you are still deceased as far as the law is concerned.
Wow, he doesn't have to pay taxes or anything.
So he's legally dead. His wife, by the way, was his ex-wife, was also in court opposing the move because if he's not dead, she has to repay the Social Security benefits that were paid out to her and the children's benefits after he was declared dead. So she's got a lot of reasons to want him to stay dead.
So she – so the court – so
yes,
they're looking at
right?
her.
So they
and
said, "You,
saying,
sir,
lady, you get to keep your money, and we're going to keep paying you, even though that guy is sitting right there."
No, they're not paying her anymore. Well, maybe they are. I don't know, but I mean, at least now we know he's out in the open and he's alive. But she would be liable for all of the Social Security that she got from him. That she was, you know, because they thought he was dead. If he's not dead, she doesn't get that. She doesn't get those benefits. She doesn't get those payments.
But I mean, if he's still dead,
the whole thing's a big mess. That's what I'm saying.
What's the 3-year rule? I mean, so what? You find out 5 years later, the guy's still alive.
Yeah, I don't know. It says, I mean, I have no idea whether the judge is, you know, is bound by that. He's legally not. I mean, it seems like this would be a case where his own judgment and experience should be able to overrule the law. But maybe that's not how it works. Maybe he just doesn't have – maybe there's a recourse that he can recommend that the guy can do for some sort of a hearing or something like that. But as of right now, this guy has no Social Security number. The state says he's dead, and he's like, but I'm right here.
That's sort of awesome.
Well,
it is kind of weird,
because,
right?
He can't really work without a Social Security number.
This guy doesn't seem like a guy who's doing a lot of work anyway.
Well, he can't collect benefits.
His parents told him about his death, by the way, when he moved back into the state. It kind of went further than I ever expected it to. It just kind of took off, ended up in different places, he says.
Meaning he was just trying to get away. He wasn't trying to
fake his own death. Exactly. So,
but now he's stuck with it.
Exactly.
That's weird.
You're dead and you'll like it.
That's bizarre.
Good times.
You go out on a date, you go, I got to tell you something. This is odd. It's really strange, but according to law, I'm dead.
This is going to be hard for you to hear, but I'm dead.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeMetro, shall we?
Who saw that coming?
We're going to talk, of course, about the Dodgers being in the playoffs tonight.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Cousin Sal will talk NFL. He'll tell us what his picks are for this week.
And we're about at the point with Sal where we recommend you just bet against his picks, right?
Okay. He'll give his picks for what it's worth.
Here's what I'll say in his defense. He does use the line, and that's much harder than just win and lose. But, yeah, he might need some help because he did. What was he, 0-3?
I'm afraid so.
We have Reese Darby in the studio.
Love him.
Talking about some shows of comedy that he has at the Hollywood Improv. He's weird. This is a weird dude.
You know what Reese has done since the last time we saw him? Last time he was in the studio, Lisa? You ready for this?
What?
Climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Really?
God, does he look like the kind of guy who would climb Mount Kilimanjaro?
No, never.
He might ride up a Sherpa.
That's crazy.
So yeah. We'll hear all about that.
It was a Sherpa piggyback ride.
Right.
Jimmy Kimmel will be on the show today. Talking about his interview with Kanye.
Cannot wait to hear what he says.
We are going to talk to somebody who is organizing and walking in a new dog walk. It's a benefit. The San Fernando Valley Pet Shelter, I think.
Dogs are nude, right?
The dogs are nude, yes. And the people are nude as well.
Ah, very different.
Well, it's good that it's getting warmer.
Yes, that's true. It's perfect.
Through a warming string.
So it's Friday, so we got the movie beat. We'll tell you which movies are in the theater. And we have Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead, talking about the fact that that is coming back this Sunday night.
He says the season 4 is going to be the best season yet.
I don't know how that's possible.
I don't either, but I can't wait.
Yeah.
So we'll do that coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Big weekend for 30 Seconds to Mars fans. They're playing the Hollywood Bowl tomorrow night. We got tickets you can win this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then Monday in the Red Bull Sound Space, you get to see the band up close and personal all over again. Get the details at KRock.com. Why? What's that? 30 Seconds to Mars is a great live band, Ralph.
Just imagine the traffic. I'm just imagining the traffic around the bowl tomorrow night. That's all.
It's not the best system.
I got to get into Hollywood tomorrow night too.
Yep,
I'm effed.
It's not.
You
the
better
best
leave
system.
Now.
I gotta rent a chopper.
You're gonna
I need a hovercraft.
Either that, or you're gonna have to go through San Diego. I don't know any
either
other
that
way.
That may be the best route.
Boat to San Diego.
The end around. Start at Catalina.
Right. Yeah. Ralph, can't you go? Not to get too deep into the woods here, but can't you just go from your house up to Laurel Canyon and go over that way and avoid the whole Hollywood Bowl mess?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
What am I, a taxi driver?
I don't know. I'm just saying maybe it's easier than the helicopter in the San Diego. That's all I'm
suggesting.
I'm just
saying when the bowl, it affects everywhere. It's like an insidious disease. It just spreads everywhere.
Really.
It's not ideal.
Kevin's right. You have to get in a boat made of inner tubes strapped together and just go along the coast. Just drift along the coastline.
Hope you don't end up in Cuba.
That's right. Yeah.
That would be something, by the way, to leave LA and end up in Cuba.
Sure would.
Hola, amigo.
Take a while.
Yeah.
All right. It's 5:54. It is Friday. Ralph is here. And it's time for the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah. The reason I bring about being in Hollywood tomorrow night is because Kevin Smith and I are doing a rare Saturday night Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose at 10 p.m.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, he was just getting into it.
Getting into it. Got my Bay City Rollers on, yo. Tomorrow night. Hollywood Babylon, me and Kevin Smith.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Well, he's my partner. That's why I need him. So come out and see us. Go to improv.com or babylonralph.com. Love to have you join us for a Saturday night version of...
Saturday night.
Very helpful today. I appreciate that.
Odd.
It is odd. So,
it won't last.
For the other shoe to drop.
So it won't last.
Getting set up to be knocked down somehow. It is all about celebrities and parenthood. In this early morning edition of the Showbiz Beat, Mother of the Year, Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abramson?
You remember her, the backdoor teen mom. Tells In Touch magazine that while she's off in strip clubs and making appearances at porn conventions, she's not concerned about her 4-year-old daughter, Sophia, because, and I quote, she has her own life and is doing her own thing. It's healthy. It's healthy that we have a break, she said, regarding her 4-year-old.
I hope she's got a job. She's not a slacker.
So too. I hope she's in a relationship.
Wow.
That kid needs to be adopted.
Is that madness?
Yeah, that's madness.
Has her own life and is doing her own thing. She's 4.
She said that out loud.
Yes. 4-year-olds desperately need their parents around them at all times. They are still toddlers.
She's busy, Ralph.
She's busy toddling.
She doesn't have time for mom.
That's just nuts. Meanwhile, Britney Spears is considering putting her son Sean on stage with her in her next incarnation of her show. Sean's in it. I don't know. What's he, 7, 8 years old?
You mean Vegas? And that's
yeah, him? Yeah. Hmm. Meanwhile, Kevin Federline has stepped in and said he doesn't like the idea and wants his son to have a normal life. Who'd think Kevin Federline would be the voice of reason
no
in that
kidding.
Relationship?
Huh?
More bad kids. Justin Bieber's a spoiled brat. In Touch magazine reporting. He's got a new Ferrari. He has changed the color of his Ferrari 3 times this year alone.
Okay.
He comes out and says, no, I don't want it that color. So he gets it painted. $3,000 a paint job to get the color changed. He's done it 3 times so far this year alone. That's just a...
Yeah.
That's a child, right? A child does that. I don't want my car that color anymore. And then when you have all that money, you can just do whatever you want.
Doesn't matter to him, money-wise.
Oh, I weep.
What a dumb douchebag.
Yeah. And Lee Thompson Young, he was the guy from Rizzoli and Isles, actor, took his own life at the age of 29, was also on that Disney show, the famous Jet Jackson, is how he got his big break. Report is back regarding his death. And it turns out he just lost a brutal battle with depression and bipolar disorder. He was not using any opiates, cocaine, alcohol, or any other drugs at the time of his death. He had been on medication for his conditions, but they think he may have gone off his meds, and that's what caused him to take his own life on August the 19th.
That sucks.
It does suck. Mental illness is a horrendous condition, and he lost the battle. But it's good to know at least he wasn't on any other kind of drugs or alcohol. Yeah. Henry Cavill, he has gone back to his girlfriend Gina Carano. Superman is back together with actress, martial artist Gina Carano. The two originally dated about a little over a year ago. They parted ways last May, and then he famously started dating Kelly Cuoco. And that lasted for a couple of months, and then they split up, and Kelly Cuoco started dating someone else and immediately got engaged.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So Superman's like, whoa! I'm going to fly backwards and turn back time.
He wasn't really Superman.
Again. Yeah. I saw him. He's got the suit on.
Yeah.
He's flying around, Kevin.
It's a movie.
Open your eyes.
Sorry.
Open up a blog. And with the success of the reboot, revival of Dallas on TNT, they're starting to look at some other late-night soap operas, television soap operas, and bring them back. Good news, buddy, from my buddy Lorenzo Lamas, Falcon Crest apparently coming back. Woo!
It's been 30 years?
Woo!
25 years?
Remind me who was on.
Yeah, I don't even know Falcon
besides
Crest.
Lorenzo.
Oh, come on, Lisa.
What was it?
Did that have
Jane
one of the
Wyman,
headers on it? David Selby?
Keep
anything?
Going.
What was? Nope. What was the deal? What was the story?
They
own vineyards?
A winery.
Oh,
yeah.
A winery.
Yeah, they were like, for what oil was to Dallas, wine was to Falcon Crest.
Okay.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Okay. You let us know how that is.
I don't remember much about the show other than that. But good time. Today's celebrity birthdays. Joan Cusack turns 51 years old today. Actor Sean Patrick Flannery, who was really good in the final season of Dexter, playing Deb's boss, a private detective.
He was.
48 years old. Luke Perry, 47 years old. Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock, 45 years old. Emily Deschanel. Bones! She's Bones!
She is Bones.
37 years old. And Michelle Trachtenberg, probably best known as Buffy's little sister, 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got a lot of show coming up, including our friend Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead, or as Kevin refers to him, what was it? Was it
Come
Richard?
Come on, that's a long time ago.
Robert Richard Kingman? Was that it?
Robert Kingman's got a new movie called The Walking Dead. Talk to him about that.
We were in Vegas. I knew nothing about the book, the comic book, the TV show, nothing.
This is when it was just coming out,
yep,
right?
Yep. Yeah. And I got every single thing wrong. And Ralph just looked at me like, shut up, let me take it.
I thought that was our St. Patrick's Day show.
Was it?
Bar downtown, I think it may have been. I just know you were spectacular.
Yeah, well.
Also, comedian and actor Rhys Darby on the program. That's all straight ahead here on the Kevin Reed Show. First, though, it's Friday. That means it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Quite the eclectic little batch of movies this weekend. Something for everyone, as they say, including Green Day fans. A little documentary in limited release this weekend called Broadway Idiot. It's a fascinating film that follows Billy Joe Armstrong all the way from a Green Day concert, a punk rock concert at Madison Square Garden, to the opening of his musical American Idiot on Broadway. Those two venues are 10 blocks away from each other, and yet they couldn't be more separate, worlds apart.
Sounds fascinating.
It is fascinating.
So is the movie about him trying to get from one location to the other in a hurry?
Yes.
Do we see him like
bringing up a cab?
You can't get a cab.
Yeah. Also opening up this weekend, Romeo and Juliet, the classic tale of...
Oh, they're finally making that a movie.
Forbidden Love by William Shakespeare. This is one of the great works of dramatic art in the history of the written word. And I'm so glad that I have Omar pulling clips for me. He's the one who pulls all the clips for the showbiz beat. And for the movie beat. And he gives me a list of the clips that he's pulled for these films. And on this one... he writes me a little synopsis so I know what clips he's pulled. This is what he wrote here. Romeo and Juliet clip. A stupid clip from a stupid play that got turned into a stupid movie. So glad that I am surrounded by people who appreciate the finer things in life.
We are refined.
Yes. Here's the clip that Omar pulled from Romeo and Juliet.
The brightness of her cheek would shame the stars as daylight doth a lamp. Her eyes, set in heaven, would give forth such light that birds would sing and think it were not night. Oh, that I were glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo. Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Oh,
you. What is wrong with you?
I didn't say it.
Some of the most beautiful words ever written about love.
Yeah, you can't understand what they're saying.
Yeah, you can. Just listen and don't be full of granola balls.
William Shakespeare is stupid, Ralph. You know. Stupid and dumb.
Great cast, too, brings this old story to new life. Haley Steinfeld, for example, she was in True Grit. She plays Juliet. Douglas Booth is Romeo. Damian Lewis also in the film. By all counts, a great interpretation of the Shakespeare classic. Also opening up this weekend, a new Amber Heard film.
All right. Oh, I'm glad she's making movies.
I wish she were doing the Playboy Club instead, though.
It's called All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. Amber Heard plays the beautiful good girl Mandy Lane, who all the boys want to be with, but she doesn't want to be with them because she's a good girl. They all get invited to a weekend party on a secluded ranch, and that's when people start dying! Here's some clips from the trailer, All the Boys Love Mandy Lane.
There she is, boys. Mandy Lane. Untouched. Pure. Since the dawn of junior year, men have tried to possess her, and to date, all have failed.
You're coming this weekend, right?
Right.
She's coming to my ranch, dude.
You seem different.
It's because I am.
Wait. Did you guys hear that?
Somebody's out there.
There's nobody out there. Nobody around for miles.
You know the killer is Nick, right?
Yeah, sure.
He shows up on the ranch, starts killing off anybody.
She's my girl, not yours.
She loves me, and I love her. She's hacking people's limbs off and stuff. Psycho killer. Yeah, that's right, Nick. Talking about you. I've been looking forward to this movie since I first heard they were making it. It's called CBGB. Story of the legendary punk rock nightclub in New York City. CBGB.
A lot of history in that place.
A lot of history. If you name a great band that came out of the 70s and 80s, chances are they either played there or got their start there. We're talking about the Ramones, the Police, Blondie, Iggy Pop. Just an incredible list of amazing talent that came out of that club back in the 70s and 80s. And it was just a
dive.
Just an asshole. Just garbage. Just awful. Alan Rickman plays Hilly Kristal, the owner of the club, which started off being a country and bluegrass club. That's what it stands
for. Really?
Country, bluegrass, and blues is what CBGB stands for.
Wow.
Could not get that off the ground. Place became a sinkhole, and so they just started booking anybody who wanted to play in that joint, and it was the center of the musical world for a short time there in New York City. But Malin Ackerman, she is Debbie Harry, is Blondie. Stana Katic also stars in this film. Great cast. Here's a scene where Alan Rickman, as Hilly Kristal, the owner of CBGB's, meets up with the Ramones for the first time.
We got four songs. I don't want to walk around with you. I don't want to be learned. I don't want to be tamed. And I don't want to go down to the basement.
A lot of things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Anything you want to do?
We're working on something now.
Something positive?
Yeah, it's called I Want to Sniff Some Glue.
I want to sniff
some glue. Good to have a point of view.
I don't know who's playing Johnny Ramone, but he sounds exactly like him.
Yeah, everyone in this movie does a great job of interpreting the legendary musicians that they play. Looks like a lot of fun. Captain Phillips also opens up this weekend. Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
True story. Captain of a vessel that was boarded by Somali pirates. I don't like Somali pirates.
Well, they're not generally good. They're not bringing you gifts, if that's what you're saying.
How are they doing in the playoffs, by the way, Somali pirates? Are they, did they win their series?
No, they got kicked out. I think St. Louis eliminated them.
Sorry to hear that. Here's a clip from Captain Phillips. This is where the pirates are boarding the ship, and Captain Phillips has to lock everyone down.
Listen up. We have been boarded by four armed pirates. You know the drill. We stay hidden no matter what. I don't want any hostages. We stay locked down until help arrives. No one comes out until you hear the non-duress password from me, which is supper time. If the pirates find you, remember, you know the ship. They don't. Stick together. And we'll be all right. Good luck.
Looks awesome.
Paul Greengrass, the director, looks like a great film. However, I would have at some point early on in filming said, Tom, we don't need to go with the Boston accent. We're good. No, just you're Tom Hanks. Just you, just go as you. Everyone will buy into it. No, you know what? Shh, don't speak. No, don't need to.
The pirates are coming aboard. Not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
All right, he was from Boston. I understand, Tom, but still.
And then, lastly, and perhaps most importantly,
Machete.
Yeah.
He's back. Here's the things I know about Machete. He knows the score.
That's right. True.
He gets all the women.
I've heard that also.
He kills the bad guys.
Right.
That's also true.
And he's back doing those things. Danny Trejo, as when the U.S. government recruits Machete to battle his way through Mexico in order to take down an arms dealer who looks to launch a weapon into space. That's right. You heard me. It's Machete in space. Great cast. Mel Gibson, Jessica Alba. Introducing Carlos
Santana?
No.
Estevez.
Estevez as the president, Charlie Sheen. And, of course, Sofia Vergara.
Sure.
Plays a character named Desdemona, whose breasts are guns. She's got gun breasts.
Love it.
Breast guns.
Love it.
Here's a scene where she's aiming her guns at Machete.
Machete! Come out and play! Fuck her up, lover boy! Suck at this!
Booby guns!
Those are some booby guns.
Those are major caliber, like wow. 50 cal booby guns.
By the way, if they could get some of those booby guns going into the Romeo and Juliet movie, then maybe that thing would get some traction.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Then I'd be in.
Talk about love and touching faces. Where's the booby guns on the part of us?
Those are your choices for the weekend. As I mentioned, a little something for everybody. Me, I'm most excited about CBGB and Machete Kills. Those are ones I'm checking out this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Why does it seem like Bigfoot is in the news so much lately, Kevin?
Because Bigfoot is in the news so much lately.
That's why. Bigfoot has been around for ever, but we've had a lot of reports in this country for the past couple of hundred years or so, and it just seems like sometimes it's hotter than others. Joe Rogan did that show recently where he did a whole hour on Bigfoot, talking to people who have seen him or interviewed him, you know, interviewing science,
everything.
Yeah, exactly.
A whole episode on it.
There's in case you're not familiar, Bigfoot looks just like Chewbacca from the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like 8 feet tall. He weighs like 500 pounds. He's covered in hair. He lives in the woods, and we've never found a dead one though, which is what makes me suspicious of the fact that there probably isn't a Bigfoot, because wouldn't we have found a corpse at this point after all this time we've been looking?
You would think. And there's also never been a good picture taken of Bigfoot. Now there's a guy named John Stoneman who says that he caught two Bigfoots on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the picture and you go, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's taken from about, it looks like 40 feet away or so, and it's in a group of a bunch of trees, and I guess you could look at it and think, hey, that's one Bigfoot bending over another Bigfoot.
Yeah.
But then I guess somebody else went from a different angle and took another picture and said it's just a tree stump, so I don't know, but John Stoneman's getting a lot of news for being the latest guy to capture Bigfoot on film. We asked producer Dave, is there any way you could line up Mr. Stoneman? I believe we have him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin Devine Show. Hi, John. Whoa. Whoa.
Hello?
Is this John Stoneman?
No, how you doing? He's not available right now. What's going on?
Well, we wanted to talk to him about the photos that he took of Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah, well, this is Bigfoot. How's it going?
It's going well. How's it going?
John's busy. Yeah, he came out trying to get more pictures of us.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then we went like this.
Wow.
And he ran. He dropped his phone, dude. It was amazing.
So, where are we calling? He lives in Pennsylvania. Is that where you are, Bigfoot?
That's Ryan. Go Eagles!
Oh, come on.
Hey, did you see the Giants game last night?
Yeah, they lost again.
He threw like three picks, man. He's the worst.
Wow, you're really in tune with the NFL.
Yeah, well, I was watching the Buffalo Wild Wings. Me and my buddy Nick, we were hanging out. We were watching the game. It was incredible.
Okay. Well, listen, so you exist. Are there other Bigfoots around the country, or are you it?
I don't know. I know I got some relatives. Where are you guys calling me from?
Southern California.
Los Angeles.
I got relatives in Southern California.
Oh, you do?
You know Khloe?
Khloe Kardashian? Yes, we are aware of her.
Yeah, she's one of us.
She is.
Yeah, but here in Pennsylvania, it's just me and Nick.
It's you and Nick.
You and Nick. Okay. All right. So what's the deal? Why is it so difficult for people to get a good, clear photograph of you? Are you always running away from humans when you see them with cameras?
Well, here's the thing. We're not photogenic.
Right.
It's kind of embarrassing. We got, like, hair all over us, and we got, you know, we're a little overweight.
So
no, we don't have really good teeth.
So you don't think you look good in pictures is why you're hiding.
Yeah, I don't really, like, tell me taking a picture of me until I get, like, supercuts or something, you know, get a decent haircut, maybe lose some weight.
Why didn't someone take a photo of you while you were eating wings and watching football?
You know, it turns out that a lot of the guys in Buffalo Wild Wings look a lot like we do.
Oh, I see. So you're right at home.
I don't think anybody noticed this.
I got you.
You know, we're wearing our jerseys and all.
Sure. Yeah, blend in.
Go Vic!
Right.
Dude, I hope he's all right for the Bucks game.
Wow. You really know a lot about the Eagles.
Well, yeah. You know, because most of the people who watch the Eagles are animals.
Right.
And so, we fit right in with that crowd, too.
Now, Bigfoot, you sound like a nice...
Call me Tony. Call me Tony, guys.
Tony.
Yeah.
Okay. You sound like a nice guy.
Oh,
I think
thanks.
Most,
you guys
most,
sound nice, too.
Well, most of us have been terrified by this huge, hulking monster in the woods, like we're afraid you're going to kill us or somehow, but you just sound like a kind of guy you want to have a beer with.
You ever hear about anybody being killed by Bigfoot?
No.
Well, no.
No. All we do is pretty much walk around.
Right.
Because we got big feet.
And you hide from cameras.
And we hide from cameras, you know, okay. And we like, you know, we watch the game.
Sure.
Get, a schooner of beer or something. But, we're not really, dangerous per se.
Okay, well, so that's good. You haven't killed a human being?
Except for the ladies. You know what I'm saying? We're dangerous for the ladies. We're lady killers.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Yeah, no, it's true.
We
walk around the woods long enough, you get pretty horny, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In fact, our feet aren't the reason they call us Bigfoot.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Look, the foot log.
Now you're just bragging.
I got a big wang.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55. We're going to talk about a charity event, animal charity event at Nudist Resort in San Bernardino coming up next after the top of the hour.
Oh, that sounds like a disaster waiting to happen.
Yes, it does.
When Denise a Wolverine goes after somebody's junk, you're going to be sorry that happened.
Denise is going to be joining us, the event coordinator. Ralph, what's the over-under on how long it takes Kevin to ask if she's ugly?
Jeez, how much?
Wait, hold on before you guess.
Fat or ugly?
Yeah,
which
I was going to say,
go?
Does fat count?
I don't think there may be a device that can measure that small an increment of time between the time she comes on the air and Kevin says, "Oh, so you're fat and ugly, right?"
It'll be before she says hello.
Oh,
that much
course.
We know.
Yeah,
right?
That much
okay.
We know.
Anyway, we'll talk to Denise, find out what's going on out there. I think it sounds like a fun event.
You're fat and ugly. If you're fat and ugly, event.
Yeah, the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Well, we talked about this. Paris Hilton is trying to reboot her music career.
Mm-hmm.
With a new song called Good Time that she did with Lil Wayne.
Yeah. She used her little baby voice.
I'm a little tipsy.
And she's doing the rounds, doing her press junkets and whatnot. And a lot of that means doing radio interviews. You know, we talk to folks who have new projects all the time. Paris was doing a phoner interview with a white-hot radio show called Bob and the Showgram. Hey, it's Bob and the Showgram, everybody.
Is the Showgram another person?
No, it's a group of people.
Oh, okay.
There's Bob, and then there's all his
little the Showgram.
His little minions around him who are the Showgram.
Okay.
God, radio's horrible. They're in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. And so Bob and the Showgram interviewing Paris Hilton, and I guess maybe the... well, I guess they have guts to bring this up, but they start talking about her sex tape, One Night in Paris. That her then-boyfriend Rick Solomon was filming and then released after the fact, which kind of brought her to national attention.
Right.
And I'm guessing Paris probably doesn't want to talk about that.
Oh, I'm guessing she hopes that that's
well,
behind
her. Well,
it's
kind her. Of super old history.
It is super old history. So I think we've got two clips here. Here is them first asking the question.
You know, a lot of people, Kim Kardashian, a couple other folks, too, started with the sex video. You did, too. Did you ever wish you didn't do that?
Well, that was not anything to do with me. I just dated a person who was a very sick man who did that, so...
So she seems unhappy with that question.
Do you wish you didn't
yeah,
do
that's
that?
A dumb question.
What a question.
I got the sense that she was unhappy when I heard her answer.
Right.
However, it was confirmed for me when she proceeds to go off on these DJs at the end of the interview thinking they have hung up, and she's not aware that she is still live on the air.
Okay.
Asshole, I'm never doing that show again.
I've already put in a call to them. I can't believe they just crap up. All right.
Didn't even mention the song. I told them twice.
Great.
That's the DJs That's reacting to the fact that they're hearing that conversation between Paris and her publicist.
They didn't even mention the song.
The line was still open.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
the takeaway, though, is that Paris Hilton was sad, so we're happy.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Okay.
Yes. And if you get a chance to talk to her, maybe steer away from One Night in Paris.
Or don't, depending on what reaction you want.
The Kardashians are in the news.
Yeah, we just talked to Bigfoot.
Yeah, also Kim and her boyfriend Kanye. They are bucking for Parents of the Year. Maybe they can get some tips from Farrah Abraham.
Great.
They had no trouble leaving their daughter North this week. They left her with a nanny while they went to a fashion show in Paris. Left the kid behind. Well, the kid can take care of itself now. What is it? 7, 8 months old, if that.
I think less than that, even.
Yeah, they ditched the kid and flew off to Paris to hang out with the fashion elite.
Well, you have to go to fashion shows.
You do, because how else are you going to sell your leather jogging pants?
Ralph, how old's your daughter now?
My daughter is 3.5 years old, sir.
Have you guys still left her behind yet? Even at 3.5, have you guys ever left her yet?
Not at the same time.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
My wife will go off and do her thing, or I'll go off and do my thing, but we don't leave for an extended period of time.
Yeah, usually you kind of stay pretty close to them that first few years.
But yeah, it turns out that they need stuff at that age. They really can't provide for themselves.
But you both go to fashion shows.
No, it turns out no fashion shows.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about great parenting, Farrah Abraham. She told In Touch magazine that she is often off doing appearances in strip clubs and porn conventions.
That's hot.
And her daughter, Sophia, who's 4... it gets left behind, but it's okay, because here's her quote. Sophia has her own life and is doing her own thing. It's healthy that we have a break. Well, that's what they say about raising a child. Is, you know, give your kid a nice, healthy break from your parenting, especially when they're around 4. That's the way to ensure success in raising
a
child.
That's one of the greatest quotes of all
time. Give the kid room to breathe. Don't smother it with love and parenting and food.
That's awesome. And she said that out loud to someone.
She sure did. I heard your interview with Bigfoot. I think that child would be better raised by Bigfoot in the woods.
I agree. Except for the whole Eagles thing.
You get to go to Buffalo Wild Wings once in a while. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michelle Trachtenberg is 28 years old. Emily Deschanel turns 37. Jane Krakowski turns 45. Luke Perry, he's 47 years old today. Sean Patrick Flannery turns 48. Actress Joan Cusack of the acting Cusack family celebrates her 51st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Comedian and actor Rhys Darby joins us in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, best known perhaps for Yes Man with Jim Carrey. Of course, he's the immortal Murray on Flight of the Conchords. Hilarious guy in town for some stand-up. That's coming up first, though. Let's say hi to Denise. She is the event coordinator of an event coming up at the Deer Park Nudist Resort that we are fascinated with, and we are sending beer mug to, although he didn't know that until just now. Hi, Denise. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you. So we saw the press release, Take a Walk on the Wild Side, a fundraiser for San Bernardino Valley Humane Society at the beautiful Deer Park. Oh, a clothing optional resort. Tell us about your event that's coming up tomorrow.
Well, we are expecting a real good crowd. We're having a dog costume contest. And
it just keeps getting better. Why are you putting dogs in costumes, Denise? Seriously.
Well, you know, no one else would be wearing anything, so.
That's the first good answer I've ever heard to that question.
No, actually, there will be people in clothes as well. It's optional to wear clothing. I couldn't get any of the vendors to come and get naked, so it'll be a little mix of textile people and nudists.
It seems okay, like so perhaps...
It seems like perhaps dogs and nude people, not a good mix there. So there's stuff to grab onto.
Yeah, you just have to watch it. Nobody jumps up and gets, overexcited.
Right.
The dog.
And you're talking about the people, right?
Yeah.
So, Denise, give me some background here. Do you go to the Deer Park Nudist Resort? Are you already a nudist and that's why you're involved in this event?
Oh, yes. I live here.
You live there? Yeah. Okay. I don't know much about the place. I know that it's big. It's like 50 acres or something like that, right?
Yep, out here in DeVore. We have two swimming pools and jacuzzis and tennis courts, and we have all kinds of events. Usually they're themed events like 60s night or comedian night, but we... I've been wanting to get more community-oriented, so a couple weeks ago we had Vampire Night, but the next day we had the Red Cross come out and we had a blood drive.
Isn't the only way to tell it's a theme night what you wear? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, if it's Vampire Night, you can't dress up like a vampire because you're nude. How is it Vampire Night?
Well, you can go a long way with a cape and a pair of fangs.
Okay. All right.
So how many non-nudists, non-residents there at Deer Park do you expect to come out for the dog event tomorrow?
I'm hoping hundreds. I got lots of hot dogs that we're going to sell to help the Humane Society, and I've been advertising at the colleges and vet's offices and the Humane Society all over the place, and hopefully this will bring a lot more people in.
So this would be an outstanding opportunity for maybe young people who are listening to our show right now who want to come out, raise some money for good cause, and also hang out with naked people and be naked and kind of test out the lifestyle a little bit, see what it feels like?
Exactly. It'll be a perfect opportunity.
Denise, what percentage of the people would you say that live at the Deer Park are...
Here we go.
Fat and or ugly.
Oh, we don't judge people like that at all.
Oh, I see.
We really don't. And nudity takes away all the social stratus and the prejudice. People are a lot more open and honest. We're just like... We have a range of people, and it's... except we don't have tan lines.
See, Kevin, why are you being an againster? A woman wants to take off her clothes and live in front of you, and you're complaining.
I'm not complaining. I ask all our guests that.
That's right.
It's a standard question.
Denise, how many people are like you and live at the Deer Park Nudist Resort?
I believe there's about 50 of us year-round.
Wow, so it's a little commune.
Yeah, kind of. We really look out for each other. Somebody runs out of propane and somebody else will bring them wood for the wood stove.
Sure. And so does it depress you when you have to get dressed to go into town to buy groceries and stuff like that? Like, do you hate having clothes on when you have to?
I do. And I'm wearing clothes now to get ready to go to work. It's just, I'm practically taking them off on my way in the gate,
Well, all right then. All right. Do people need to sign up or anything like that, or just show up at the gate tomorrow for your event?
Well, it would be helpful if they gave a call to the office and registered.
Naked!
Just show up.
Okay.
Either way, okay.
It's the Deer Park Nudist Resort. It's on Glen Helen Road in San Bernardino. You can go to their website, which is just dpnr.com, dpnr.com. Again, the event is the Take a Walk on the Wild Side, a fundraiser for the San Bernardino Valley Humane Society, and that'll be tomorrow. Clothing optional. All right, Denise, listen, have fun. I'm disappointed you don't put more pictures on your website. By the way, that's my only complaint, but I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you.
Well, I hear Lisa May really likes her dogs. I think she should come out.
She does.
We might do that.
And she loves being
That's
nude.
Great.
So you got that going for you. So there'll be one hot chick there. All right. Thank you, Denise.
All right. Thank you.
Bye now.
Yesterday on the program, we were telling you about a bet that Miley Cyrus just won, a bet that she made with her producer, Dr. Luke. Now, he's a guy who has produced, hey, DJ Omar Khan, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. Good.
You know Dr. Luke. He's a guy who's done Britney Records and Kesha Records.
All the biggest
and
pop stars, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, and he produced some of the new Miley Cyrus album, and they had a bet on the song Wrecking Ball, whether it was going to go to number one or not, which it did. Dr. Luke did not think it would, so he lost the bet, and the bet was that if the song went to number one, he was going to buy Miley a toilet like the one he has in his house, which is made by Kohler, and it costs $6,400.
Wow.
This toilet that this
How
dude
is
has
that
in his home.
Possible? Is it made out of gold?
I did a little research and found a review of this Kohler Numi toilet and bidet. from CNET. And I thought I would play some of this audio back and we could hear some of the features that this toilet has. And I asked Omar to join us because Omar loves spending time in the bathroom.
I spend a lot of time in the bathroom, yeah.
No one enjoys pooping more than Omar does. Yeah. And I thought you'd be the perfect person to make a judgment call as to whether this toilet is worth that kind of money, because I would never pay it.
Right.
So let's see what's involved in this $6,400 toilet, shall we? Here we go.
Hi, I'm Scott Stein, Senior Associate Editor at CNET.com, and this is the Kohler Numi Toilet. Now, this may not be for everyone. In fact, it costs almost $6,400 to buy, but this is a high-tech toilet that borrows a lot from the idea of Japanese high-tech toilets, but gives it a distinctly American design. Namely, there's a touchscreen on this. This is a touchscreen magnetic tablet that docks over here and gives you complete control.
Okay, so it's like an iPad, but it has a remote control, a place to keep it. And you use that to adjust all of the various features that are available on the toilet.
So you need a remote control while you're on it?
Yes.
That remote control is like on the wall or something?
It's on a stand by the toilet.
Now, that sounds unnecessary.
You can also disable that if you don't want to use that and you just wanted to set it up for automatic features. But for instance, like there's a touch screen where you can hit a button to open and close the toilet because it's kind of sealed up, but you can also set it up so that it automatically opens and closes as you approach or leave the toilet. You can set it up to automatically flush.
That's awesome.
All right, let's find out more about it.
Over heated seat functions and automatically adjusting bidet.
Okay, now let's talk about those two features.
I like the heat.
The heat is awesome because I hate sitting down when it's cold.
Yeah, when we get up, you know, it's 4:30 and it's freezing.
Yeah, it's freezing. It sucks.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
All right, so that's something that might be worth paying a little extra for, is the heated seat.
It's key.
I've never been a...
You've never been a bidet guy?
Well,
bidet is awesome. It's the best. It's so fresh and so clean.
Explain to people what it is, and then I'll tell you where it went terribly south with me.
Okay. So the first time I enjoyed the bidet was in Europe, because there it's very common.
Right.
So they have a toilet, and then they have a separate, smaller-looking toilet where it's just like a water fountain. And it splashes a little water on your butt, and then you wipe, and then so fresh and so clean.
Right.
So I guess this toilet, like the newer toilets, have a little spout that actually comes, shoots out.
Right.
And then boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
What happens is when you're done with your business, then another little like faucet or something comes out kind of underneath you and performs its magic.
The best.
And
then it also has the world.
It also has a dryer after that. After you get the water, it also has a dryer. Yes.
Oh. Unless that dryer is Kate Upton, I'm not sure I'm in.
Dude, then I could style my butt hawk.
What was your tragic bidet story, Kevin?
Oh, I decided to try it once because I didn't understand it, and I turned it up and turned it up, and nothing was happening. So I kept turning it up, and nothing happened. And I turned it up, and then at one point, it just like it was a geyser, and it went right through me. It came out the top of my head. But anyway, back to this toilet.
But you had a good time.
Oh, it was great.
This is a serious question. Is a bidet more of a girl thing than it is a boy thing? Lisa, is there chicks into bidets, or what's the deal?
I think it is more of a girl thing. I think so.
Oh.
Omar, all right.
Well, I'm so sassy.
So far, you're in. So far, it sounds like you're in on this toilet,
1,000%.
Right? Omar treats his vagina very nicely. Very well.
I pamper myself.
Let's find out some more.
And also temperature and blow-drying options
your
every comfort need. There's a speaker system built into here. There's a radio. You can attach your iPhone.
Okay, so now do you need Bluetooth technology in your toilet, Omar?
Yes.
For what?
Absolutely. So I could be grooving out to you, Steve Aoki, going, "Nts, nts, nts," while I'm relaxing.
So it's got a speaker system in it that I guess you would sync with your phone, your iPad, or whatever. And it also has lights. I mean, it's like a nightclub.
I'm not doing ecstasy on this thing.
No, not that kind of light. Oh, it's not like a disco ball comes down from the sky.
That would be cool.
It is awesome that it has a built-in speaker system.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a full entertainment system for your commode. But if you are touch-averse and you don't like using a remote, this thing can be fully automatically adjusted as well. It will automatically raise and lower the lid from a distance of up to 6 to 8 feet.
How about that, by the way, ladies? Your lid is automatically going down. You don't have to worry about the man leaving the toilet seat.
Cool. Kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Kind of automatic, like that. Right?
You can also set it to automatically flush for you, and it also has two flush settings. One uses less water for the ecologically conscious. Overall, it is a toilet from the future. But if you've been to Japan, you may have seen something like it. You probably haven't seen one that has a remote quite like this. I'm Scott Stein, and this has been a hands-on with the Kohler Numi Ultra High-Tech Smart Toilet.
By the way, how difficult is it to flush your own toilet?
Yeah,
do you really ever need to set up an automatic flushing device?
I don't need it, most of that. Yeah. I don't need an automatic flushing device. I don't need it to...
We do here at K-Rock.
We do.
But you could say the same thing about a lot of things. You don't need it.
You're going
to
go home and
nice
tell your
have.
Wife, I need a $6,500 toilet.
Yes.
Sunday night, it's finally back. The Walking Dead.
We had a pretty big buildup overnight. We don't spread out anymore.
Stay close.
There's walkers in deep!
What happened in there?
Someone attacked the cell block.
We might be safer outside those walls, man.
Was someone feeding these things?
I won't stop them. I won't say anything.
There's not a lot of us left.
You don't have a choice. The only thing you can choose is what you're risking it for.
Sanctuary.
Better voice.
Survive.
Come on.
Good times. Good times. You know, some critics who have already seen episode one say it is the best premiere of the fall. Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead himself, has said season four is going to be the best season yet of the TV show. But what else could he say? He's the man. Hey, Robert Kirkman. Welcome back to the Kevin DeBeach Show, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, I'm contractually obligated to say that. But in this case, it is true.
In this case, it is true. Did you know that, like, last year, the stuff that you knew you had coming up for the TV show?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always tough for me because I have to keep secrets, and we do work on this show from January to Thanksgiving. So while the last season is airing its last episodes, we're working on this stuff. And
right.
It's hard to do interviews about that stuff and not let slip the things that are coming. So now that this show's coming out, I'm very excited because there will be less secrets that I have to keep every week.
Exactly. Now, you're in New York right now. You're cheating on your West Coast family because you're at New York Comic Con. What's the Walking Dead got going on in New York this weekend?
All kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, there's a really cool art gallery that we're doing to celebrate the 10th anniversary of The Walking Dead. I'd like to say that I know where that's at, but all I really know is that it's across the street from the Javits Center on 37th Street. So yeah, you can go out there and see all kinds of cool props from the show and a lot of like original art and cool stuff from the comic. And that's cool. We're doing like a documentary about The Walking Dead 10th anniversary that'll be debuting at that art gallery. We're running the Walking Dead Escape obstacle course on the Intrepid, which I think is like a giant boat that's here.
Yes, it's a giant boat. That's what it is.
You see? Yeah, it's like a military thing. I don't know if it's like an aircraft carrier, if it's a battleship, or what. I don't research these things.
We appreciate you taking the time to call us today because we know that you're super busy, and it's always funny to watch you as the Comic-Cons go on because you start fresh, and then by day two, you're not sure where you are, and then by day four, you're almost dead. So
he doesn't know his own name by day four, right. Usually.
Hopefully, I'll die at one of these.
Now, you are very tight-lipped, as I, it's understandable why you are when people ask you questions, because let's face it, most people don't really want to know what's coming up. Most people enjoy the experience of having the show unfold in their living rooms and seeing it as it unfolds. But I have to ask, at least can you tell me this? When season four begins, how far ahead are we from where season three ended?
A few months.
A few months, okay.
So there has been some time passing. There's new people that have come to the prison that are now living there. You get a sense that these people have, you know, lived through a period of time together, so they know each other a little bit more, and there's like a lot of new status quos that you'll be introduced to that, you know, where things have changed, and, you know, then we're kind of off to the races, and things get worse and worse.
Yeah.
People start dying. So
I was going to say it, and in the trailer, it looks like the prison may not be the safest place because for some reason they start ganging up and they're you know, befuddled by what's going on. Should they leave? Should they stay? That looks like a great storyline.
Yeah, I mean, the first episode is called 30 Days Without Incident, and so when we come into the show this season, they've had a, you know, longish period of relative peace, and, you know, the stuff kind of starts hitting the fan, and things start to get dangerous, and, you know, that prison may not be as safe as they thought it was.
It's nice that they have a relative time of peace while we're not able to watch it, and then things really pick up when we are able to watch it. I love that.
We try not to show the boring.
I mean, I guess it does seem realistic, as realistic as the post-apocalyptic, you know, zombie world can be, that there would eventually come a time where you would get your stuff figured out, and you get fences up. up and you'd have a system of people looking out for you, and you might be able to live a relatively normal life within the confines of a small space, right? You can't be free out in the wild to expect to be safe, but I can see how people could create an environment where they could live a kind of normal life, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's actually happening in the comic book series right now, because the comic book series is probably like six or so seasons ahead of where the show is at now. And you find in the comic book series that, you know, now that they have this like period of relative peace where everything's working and the zombies aren't, you know, too very dangerous, they start battling with people more. So now they're at a point where they're like having wars with other pockets of civilization. So, you know, things have evolved quite a bit.
Speaking of battling with people, at the end of last season, the governor goes crazy and shoots all his people, and then he drives off in a truck. Does he come back in this season, and will he come back on Sunday night?
He's definitely back. He may come back on Sunday night. I'm not going to say when or how he returns. But
when
he will
and
be
how
back this season, and when he comes back, it's going to be pretty explosive and shocking and all that cool stuff.
Love it.
We are talking to our friend Robert Kirkman here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, the genius behind The Walking Dead, which returns Sunday nights, AMC, at 9 o'clock. I heard a lot of talk recently about a spinoff of The Walking Dead, and I wanted to know from you, Mr. Kirkman, was it insulting when it was referred to as a no-brainer? Because that seems offensive to zombies.
No, I feel like that's fair. I feel like that's fairly accurate. That was from Charlie Collier. He's like my boss at AMC, so I can't complain about that at all.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you have in mind for a spinoff? I mean, can you tell us anything about that? Are these going to be characters we see on the main Walking Dead, or is this going to be a completely separate?
Don't you make it about Carl? Don't you do it?
it's going to be all Carl all the time. It's gonna be awesome. It's going to be a new cast of characters in a new location. I think that Georgia has become a character in and of itself in the show, and we want to find that for the spinoff. So, you know, there's going to be, you know, a new pocket of this universe that's going to be shown and portrayed.
And
so
when
it should be pretty cool.
I'm sorry to interrupt. When might we see that?
I don't know.
Can you get on it? You're not really doing anything.
It's coming. Okay. At some point in the future.
So this could be Walking Dead New York City or Walking Dead, you know, Minneapolis or something like that. Just a completely different set of circumstances for those new survivors that we're introduced to.
I'm pulling for Walking Dead the Moon.
The Moon.
Oh, there you go. That's awesome.
I like it. All right. Anything else you want to tell us before we let you go on to your next thing, Mr. Kirkman? Anything else you want to tell us about Sunday night besides the fact, obviously, that we'll all be watching?
It's going to be really cool, and there's a lot of zombies in it, and thanks for putting me on the spot.
Well, you come through with those kind of details. You know, we're starving for that. Robert, have a great time at the Comic-Con in New York.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
And when you get back to L.A., we'd like to have you in.
I'm all for it.
Thank you, Robert. Bye.
Always a pleasure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Item one, slow songs.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be a good idea if you ended each gig with a slow song.
No, yeah. We don't really have any slow songs.
So that's a clear no from you.
The great Murray from Flight of the Conchords, our friend Rhys Darby, very fine comedian and actor, joins us in studio, coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat.
Kris Jenner is swearing everything is just dandy between her and her estranged husband, Bruce Jenner.
They've really? Best of friends?
But they're in love. They love each other. It's just great. Everything's wonderful.
After yesterday's headlines and the day before, that's really a shocker.
Well, don't get me wrong. They're still living in different houses.
Well, then of course they're getting along.
I think that's an indicator right there that maybe the marriage isn't as great as you might want us to believe, Kris Jenner, if you have to live separately.
Yeah.
And the rumors that Bruce Jenner's sons of a first marriage are thrilled that dad's out of that family and they're getting a chance to reconnect with him, and they never liked Kris Jenner and they're happy now to have dad back and away from her. Those are all false as well.
Those are false. Okay.
In fact, Kris posted on her Instagram picture several photos of her and Bruce and those two boys just hugging together and just being the perfect family.
It's rare that you can just take the opposite of what someone says across the board.
If she worked nearly as hard to actually have a happy family as she spends trying to give the appearance that she has a happy family,
yep,
she'd have a happy family.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe she's incapable. Who knows? It's hard when you have no soul to really do anything kind for anyone. Speaking of bad moms, Farrah Abraham in the news, of course, the backdoor teen mom. She tells In Touch magazine that it's true. She spends a lot of time away from her four-year-old daughter, Sophia, because she is busy working at strip clubs and touring porn conventions.
She's a businesswoman, Ralph.
She is. Right. She's an out-of-the-pocket businesswoman. But she says it's all okay because Sophia, this is Abraham's quote, has her own life and is doing her own thing. You know how four-year-olds, they have their careers to worry about.
They run off on their own all the time.
Their households to keep. I'm sure Sophia's very busy and really doesn't have much time to hang out with her mother anyway.
So my question to you is that bad?
Yeah, that is bad.
No, it's great.
Four-year-old.
She's got her own thing, man.
Doing her own thing.
Nuts. Music news, now that Ben Gibbard has gotten that Postal Service reunion out of his system, he's ready for a new Death Cab for Cutie album. Band hinted they were returning to the studio with an Instagram photo yesterday of them posing with guitars with the message, paintbrushes. Get it? Their guitars are paintbrushes, man.
Because they're about to make art?
Hashtag in studio, hashtag death cab.
Did you see that little clip of the new song that they posted yesterday, Ralph?
No, I didn't see it.
I have it right here.
I'd like to hear it because this is the first Death Cab for Cutie, Kevin. New music in a long time.
Thank you very much.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
See, they're going a different direction now.
Excited. Looking forward to that.
Shocked that that song is the
same song. Odd.
Oliver Stone has announced he is in talks to direct the film biography of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King.
Okay.
He wants Jamie Foxx to star, who, of course, got an Academy Award for playing Ray Charles in the film biography. Ray, Jamie Foxx as Dr. Martin Luther King with Oliver Stone directing. Wow, is that going to be a big, big, big film. And I mean just overblown, overacting, over everything. Over.
A little too much.
It's like a one-man party.
Yeah. You take something that dramatic and you put it in the hands of Oliver Stone and then you have Jamie Foxx play the lead.
Wow. Okay, so he's a racist.
No, I'm not at all. Just saying, Oliver Stone can be a bit overblown. Something a little on, just to hit you over the head with a hammer once in a while sometimes.
We've hit a new low point.
He hasn't had a reason to play these drops for a long, long time.
Enjoying his Murray drops.
He really is. Excited. Yeah. Yeah. Very excited.
And Thomas Dolby is no longer blinded by science. These days, he's all about lighthouses.
Lighthouses.
That is his big cause. Save the lighthouses.
Okay.
He says there are 46 historic lighthouses that are in danger of being lost to us. And so he insists that we protect our lighthouses.
Okay. Are all the other problems solved?
Yes. He's got a multimedia show that includes his award-winning documentary, The Invisible Lighthouse, that he takes around, and he does the narration and music live, and you get to learn about how lighthouses are in danger.
Oh, maybe in the 70s, guys, but come on, get up with the 90s.
No,
times have changed.
No, now they're in danger now.
I know that the government has been selling off in recent years a lot of the lighthouses that have been decommissioned. They're not necessary anymore because now ships have technology. They don't have to rely on just little lights in the sky.
Right. So let them go.
Tell us more, B.
That's that info game.
Tell us more about lighthouses.
More about the lighthouses and who's selling them.
Don't you and Thomas Dolby get together and have this conversation somewhere else.
Don't think I didn't look into buying one or two of them, all right?
She blinded me with science.
In the words of Buzz Aldrin, Thomas Dolby, silence!
Silence!
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Oh, my God. Oh, it's terrible. What have you done?
I've done nothing. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood. We'd love to have you come out. People have been asking for a Saturday show for a while now, so we're finally doing it Saturday night, 10 p.m., at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com or babbleonralph.com and get your details and tickets there. We'd love to have you.
How do you think you get to be sold out? It's small venues. It's a trick.
Yeah, well,
it's a trick. It's an old trick.
It is the trick, yeah. We have a small venue and we do sell it out. Mm-hmm. We'd like to do that this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michelle Trachtenberg is 28 years old today. Emily Deschanel, she's 37.
Jane Krakowski, 45 years old today. It's a pretty good 45 right there.
Yeah.
Luke Perry, 47. It's a pretty good 47 right there.
Yeah.
Sean Patrick Flannery is 48. Pretty good 48 right there. And Joan Cusack, the acting sister of John, talented actress in her own right. She is 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Be talking to Jimmy Kimmel coming up here in a little while on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, he endured a lot of Kanye West the other night on his show, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Find out what it was like from his perspective. First, though, how about a young man who you can see on stage at the Hollywood Improv tomorrow night? Tickets available right now to see the great Rhys Darby. He joins us in studio on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Rhys.
Woo! I gave myself a woo.
Indeed.
Is that appropriate?
Well, I don't.
Can you give yourself one of those?
Most guests don't.
Oh.
But I don't know that it's inappropriate.
Well, I'm different.
Because it's a radio audience, so they can't really tell who
they,
said
they that. Wouldn't have known.
Right, exactly.
That could have been anyone.
But don't follow up the woo with, I just gave myself a woo.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you might have been busted for that 2 weeks ago, but with the government shutdown, the regulators who control the woos are off now. They're furloughed right now, so you're fine. You're in the clear.
Oh, good.
So how have you been? First of all, it's been a while since you've been on the program. You live in L.A. now, right?
Yes, that's right. I have moved to L.A., It's not permanent. We'll see how it goes. Not much is happening at the moment.
When this could reject you and you could head home.
I'm hoping this show's really going
to
bring something to light.
Well, good luck with that.
How long ago did you move here?
In July.
July?
Yeah.
Now, was that a difficult decision to leave your beautiful home country of New Zealand, your home for your whole life, and up and move to America?
No, not at all. Once we got the green cards, it was straight on the plane. Are you kidding me? No, look, I'm not here. I'm not saying that I've definitely left New Zealand because that's, you know, a lot of people back there would be crying right now.
Sure.
Yeah, I've still got a house back there. And so
you're a national treasure.
Exactly. I can't say goodbye to that. I mean,
you're too big a star to leave New Zealand without you.
Exactly. So for me, it's kind of like I'm sharing my time. I'm here and there,
okay.
And I go back twice a year. So, yeah, I've still got a house back there.
So I assume that you have some sort of fancy schmancy Hollywood agent who said, Rhys, sweetheart, I can get you some work, but you got to be here and you got to be available for meetings. So you're here looking for yet another big American showbiz break.
That's right. They say you've got to be here. And I said, you sure I can just put myself on tape? And they said, no, a lot of those tapes aren't turning up. So apparently I have to be on the ground. So here I am.
What do you want to do, Rhys, if this story played out the way that the best possible scenario for you, what would your job be?
Well, I'd like to have my own show. I've got a few ideas, and I've written them down, and I've showed a couple of people, and they've gone, oh, yeah, not sure about that. But if they were to go, yep, let's do it, then...
Then you'd show it to somebody who matters, and then...
yeah, and I just want to be in a great comedy show. I mean, I love making people laugh, and I've done it before, and I do it all over the world on stage, and, yeah, it's what I love to do, so...
Do you love stand-up as much?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with stand-up is, I guess, you know, the people are right there, and it's the instant gratification or, you know, what was that you just said, sort of silence.
and you or can't, I don't think that was funny silence.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You can't sort of beat that. But and also, you know, you get to be alive on stage. I get to improvise and I get to make things up on the spot and take much bigger risks than, you know, if there's cameras there, I can say, scratch that, let's try it again. You don't get to try it again on stage.
Right.
And so it's that thrill is unbeatable. I love it.
Yeah, it's swim or drown, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and people say, you know, it's the hardest thing to do, stand up. You know, I can't believe you would do it, whatever. But for me, I've been laughed at since I was a kid, you know, whether it be intentionally or not. So I'm used to it.
We're always amazed that there are people who certainly could leave stand-up behind. They never have to do it again. They go off, they make their millions, and they make their movies and their TV shows. But there's something about it that is irreplaceable. They love it so much, they end up staying out on the road or going back on the road. You know, your Seinfeld and your Martin Shorts, Jay Leno. Yeah. Yeah, they all are just guys. You're right. There's just something about it that you can't recreate anywhere else.
Yeah, I guess for some comics, you know, we go about our daily lives, you know, making people laugh, whether it be our friends and family or just, you know, the guy at Starbucks, you know, we just get a kick out of that. And so it's that kind of thing that we crave for, I guess.
You do a tremendous amount of sound effects with your mouth.
That's right. I'll just give you a couple of options now.
Part of your stand-up.
Here's a man drowning. Ah! Actually, no, I'm fine. It wasn't as deep as I thought.
When did you start that? Were you a little kid who realized that you had that ability to make those noises?
When I used to play with my toys as a kid, I was sort of a... Well, I wouldn't say lonely, but I was.
You didn't have too many friends.
I didn't have the friends weren't around all the time. You know, they were busy.
Your problem wasn't too many friends.
Just too many. I chose a lot of busy friends,
right?
And
right.
So that left me alone a lot.
Who didn't technically know you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how busy they could be at the age of seven, but there was a lot of stuff going on back in New Zealand there. And so for me, I used to play with my cars and my action figures a lot, and I would create all the sound effects to go with it, whether it be space doors, you know, car noises, sirens, helicopters, and I would do it all, and I would just, you know, I just didn't even think about it, just did it. Just
isn't that interesting?
And then later
your
on...
Your parents hated you, Reese.
Thanks, man. Like, I figured everyone could do those noises.
Let's phrase that as a question. Do your parents hate you?
Well, I'm just saying, as a little kid going around making all of those noises...
Oh, yeah.
I imagine that at some point they probably got tired of hearing the Transformers in their living room.
I don't know. I think I did a lot of it out on the front lawn. I mean, my mum used to say, "Go outside and chase yourself." That was one of her.
And then they would move.
Yeah. So I spent a lot of time out in the garden with my little army men, you know, playing wars and stuff.
That's a little sad.
Thanks, man.
Before we take a break with our guest, Reese Darby, who again is at the Hollywood Improv tomorrow night. Tickets are on sale now, just $20. And we're going to, when we come back, we want to talk about the unbelievable thing that you did since your last visit, which was no joke, climb Mount Kilimanjaro. We have to talk about that. And by the way, I'm sure you want to talk about that, but how badass do you sound if you climbed Mount Kilimanjaro? I mean, that's the greatest story in the world to have in your back pocket, right?
Yeah, so far.
That's right. So far. So we want to talk about that when we come back, but I have to ask you one more TV-related question. Did I read that one of the TV shows that you had in mind or maybe even started working on was a show where a guy can see 15 minutes into the future?
That was one of my ideas. Yeah,
an awesome idea.
Oh, thank you.
Bean likes it.
Well, there we go.
You got one.
Yeah. That's one of my TV pitches.
And what kind of reaction did you have to that? Because I think there's tremendous potential in that.
Well, it was quite the opposite. It was like, you know.
Not just disinterest.
Yeah. They said, well, if a guy can see 15 minutes in the future, you know, they'll believe that, you know, maybe he's just making assumptions rather than actually having powers. You can see that something's going to happen.
And then did you go, 20 minutes?
Yeah. Like, oh, now we're talking. Okay, let's bring the other guys in.
That's a weird feeling. I mean, I don't know anything about Hollywood, Reese, but I mean, you have this idea that you've given a lot of thought to, I'm sure. You're a smart guy. You've come up with a bunch of scenarios where this could work. You have belief in the idea, and then you go in and you're just looking at guys who are just staring back at you going,
yeah.
Why are you wasting my... I mean, that must just be so, like, such a disconnect when you drive away if they don't buy into the idea.
It is. You start to lose your faith and you think, you know, are they thinking, who is this guy? What does he want? I don't know. It's but you've just got to keep rocking.
Well, they were wrong, my friend.
Oh,
that's
an
awesome idea.
Thank you.
Don't give that up. Reese Darby is here, Hollywood Improv, tomorrow night on stage. We'll come back, talk to the mountain climber, Reese Darby, when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Reese Darby is in the studio with us.
Reese is perhaps best known for the Jim Carrey film Yes Man, and of course Murray on Flight of the Conchords, one of the greatest roles in the history of TV. He is a very accomplished stand-up comedian with lots of great stand-up specials available you can buy, and should. And you can see him on stage and live and in person at the Hollywood Improv, $20 tomorrow night. So Reese, I thought it was a joke that you climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, but it turns out that you really did.
Yes, I did.
You're the least likely person I've ever met to climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, what do you mean?
You don't strike us as Bear Grylls.
Right. Oh, come on. I know Bear Grylls.
You do?
Yeah, we've worked together.
Okay.
I'm ex-army. You know, I was a soldier. You guys know that.
I don't know that.
No.
Last time I was here, I did all the Morse code stuff. Ringing a bell.
All right, you can make Morse code sound effects with your mouth. We got that. Ringing a bell?
And that's what I think of you, Bean.
Hey, language. How do you even end up in Tanzania?
It was a full plane flight. You know, it was all legit. it was part of World Vision. So it was sort of a celebrity team of us from New Zealand that went over there.
Oh, and you knew some celebrities on the team?
Yeah, yeah. Boom. And so we got there and we climbed. It was like a six-day climb. It was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Did you train for it?
I'll bet.
I did a bit of training. As you know, I'm a jogger.
No, I didn't know that. Right.
You remember from the last time I was doing the sound effect.
Remember I did that sound effect? And you went, oh, you're a jogger. Yeah. I'm still rocking it. So I did that, kept that up. And
now,
I got,
okay, but you're running around the neighborhood twice a week does not prepare one for climbing one of the tallest mountains in the world. That's insufficient training.
I didn't know that. You know, and they say that this Kilimanjaro, yeah, it is the highest freestanding mountain in the world, but it is the one that you can do. You know, it's not, you don't need crampons or, you know, carabiners and ropes and stuff like that. You're literally walking. But then when you the last push, which takes 6 hours, is not so much a walk. It's just absolute
climb.
Pain. You're at such altitude, and I had a sore throat the entire time, and it turns out I shouldn't have even gone. There's a sign at the bottom that says if you've got a sore throat, don't go any higher than 3,000 feet.
And how tall is it?
It's like it's 6,000.
So that would be double.
Yeah.
So they said don't do that.
No.
Okay. What is that altitude like that feel like, Reese?
Like hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you're really hard breathe.
Really hard to breathe. And, you know, this the final push was 6 hours. We had to walk in sort of a zigzag motion. I was walking so slow, literally, I felt like I was sort of in a rest home trying to get to the restrooms, you know, and no
That's
one was helping me.
15 feet away, and it's going to take you 2 days.
Yeah, I felt like I was 90. And yeah.
Now, when you got up there, was it worth it?
Oh yeah, there was a great view. We got up there at sunrise, and it was fantastic. But I was just so emotional because I was just sort of crying, and I was the last of my team to get up. You know, I nearly didn't make it because I was sick. But I just had this determination. I had to push myself to get there. And once I got to the top. I was just overcome with emotion. I cried for a little bit. I'm not too embarrassed to say that, you know.
Did the rest of the team go, pull it together?
No, they were nice. Okay. They were all nice right. people.
Right. Pull it together, man!
Were any of them crying?
No, just me. Okay. And then I was told I should go back down.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Reese, you can't be in the group photo. What keeps you going? I mean, especially if you're sick and you kind of don't have to do it. It's not like you were going to die if you didn't go. You weren't saving your life to do it. What was the motivation that kept you going day after day?
A lot of it was the cameras that were on me.
And, a lot of pressure.
And the people back in New Zealand going, I knew he wouldn't make it. Yeah. You know, all he did was jog around the block once a week.
So without the cameras, you're not going up there.
Yeah. Well, no, I knew there was a lot of people relying on me. And also I just kept thinking of my mum because she said to me, you know, you've done a lot of things in your life. You know, don't take it too far. Don't push yourself. And so I wanted to do it for her. I wanted her to be proud. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I always.
So this wasn't a long time dream or anything of yours. It's just a scenario that presented itself, and you said, "Hey, why not? I'll give it a try."
Absolutely, and these things present themselves quite often. I find, you know, every year something comes up where they go, "Hey, here's something weird you haven't done. Do you want to do it?" And you know, it's a cliche, but I guess I am that yes man. You know, I try everything because we only live once, right?
What have you tried that just was a disaster that you just hated and you wish you hadn't tried?
Ooh.
This interview aside.
That's a difficult one. I guess I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay,
you
know, all right.
Nothing's been a full disaster yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Reese is a positive guy. That's right. Sees the good. Is there anything comparable to Kilimanjaro, anything that's like of that scope that you've done also that's been cool?
Of that much pain?
Or just something that much out of your comfort zone? You know, like have you skydived or anything crazy like that?
No, I haven't skydived. And I wouldn't do certain things like that now that I've got children. Mm-hmm. I mean, I take risks, but they've got to be within a safety basket of my own choosing.
Do they call it a safety basket?
That's something I've come up with just now. As soon as I said it, I thought that's a bit weird, but hopefully they won't bring it up.
Oh, sorry. Well, you do have a winner story at any cocktail party, though. I have to give you credit for that. I mean, you got that to pull out of your back pocket. Anytime anyone challenges your manhood, you can say, oh, yeah, well, I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, mother effer.
Exactly. And I do like adventure. That's something you guys remember. I said that last time I was here.
You said it in Morse code, though, Reese, so we missed it.
Okay. My bad. I like adventure. I like travel. I like exploring. And I think, there's still a lot of stuff on this planet that we need, that we haven't discovered yet.
Scuba dive yet?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, so I'm out there. I love water. I love mini submarines. I'm saving up for one.
You're saving up for a submarine?
Good luck with that.
It's a long-term plan. But, I think, why not do it? Talk about it.
You got to go to the North Pole then, I guess. That's got to be on your list, right?
Yeah.
That was unusually high.
Is that outside of your
safety basket?
Yeah, that's just that's just on the handle of the basket. I'm tipping off the wrong edge. So we'll see.
Before we let you go, Mr. Darby, Hollywood Improv tomorrow night. For reals, are you worth $20?
Oh, man. Is that all it is?
$20.
Wow, that is a bargain.
It is a bargain.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
so
that's a deal.
I'd pay $20 just to hear you do your jetpack sound effect thing.
I would. I would pay $20 just for that.
Thank you
so much.
It's
part of a stand-up.
Thank you.
It's ridiculous.
The show I'm doing tomorrow night, it's a show I came up with last year, which I toured the UK with, and it won an award. It's my best work. I'm really proud of it. And so if you're into anything I do, come and see me tomorrow night. You won't be disappointed.
Awesome. Absolutely.
I'll even do stuff outside the basket.
Hollywood Improv tomorrow night to see the great Reese Darby on stage. You can follow him on Twitter at Reese Darby for some reason, and ReeseDarby.com. That's your website right there. Always great to see you. So let's do this again another 3 years, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Less than 30 minutes from right now, our friend Cousin Sal is going to be joining us on the air with his NFL picks. You know, you can't get 0-3 anywhere. You can only get that from the Kevin and Bean Show. That's what Sal was last week. We'll see how this weekend of the NFL action looks. And we have his real-life cousin, the great Jimmy Kimmel from Jimmy Kimmel Live, which airs ABC weeknights, 11:35. Hey, James, how are you, man?
You got my whole family on the show today.
That's correct. We do. How you been, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
Good. We have a lot to talk to you about, and we are going to get to the amazing event that you have happening, the Windy City Heat event, which is going to be, that's tonight, right?
That is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, okay.
Yeah, the Arc Theater. And also, I just want to say that I'm completely naked right now.
I wish I didn't know that.
I was thinking of it as I'm standing here admiring myself.
Mm-hmm.
Hello there, stranger.
It's been a long time.
I was thinking, I've seen you, you guys have seen me naked a whole bunch of times.
Unfortunately, mm-hmm. that is true.
I've seen Kevin naked once. We showered together once. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, we played in a baseball game together. And yet I've never seen Bean naked, and I kind of feel cheated about that, and I'd love to remedy that situation.
I would love for you to remedy that as well.
Almost no one has seen me naked. I'm not quite a never nude like on Arrested Development, but my wife hasn't seen me naked since the 90s.
Have you ever been naked?
Yeah.
Do you ever get naked with the animals and run around the farm?
No, I don't do that. I'm a guy who I'm dressed right up.
The first thing I would do.
Right up until the shower, and then immediately after the shower, I'm dressed. I don't have a lot of occasion to be naked in my life, James. I sleep with clothes, work in clothes.
I am going to inscribe that on your tombstone, just in quotes. I don't have a lot of occasion to be naked in my life.
I got to be honest. I didn't see this conversation going this direction.
No, I'm very uncomfortable with it. All right, let's talk about the number one thing, and then we'll close with the Windy City Heat thing, which is an awesome event happening tomorrow night. You had a very big week, and it looked to me, based on the fact that you had to bump the Arctic Monkeys, that it was kind of a last-minute scheduling that Kanye agreed to come on your show to talk it out, to bro down with you.
Well, yeah, and the truth of the Arctic Monkeys thing is they knew that that they were going to be bumped, and I figured I'd give them the plugs anyway.
That's nice.
So, but they'll be on Wednesday. But it was a last-minute thing. In fact, Don Rickles was supposed to be the guest, and he had to cancel. And Kanye at that time said he'd like to come on, so it worked out.
How did you get together with Kanye's people and say, let's talk about it on TV? Because my guess is he wouldn't want to do that. I was surprised.
It was not – his people had nothing to do with it. It was him.
It was him.
He contacted me directly and said he'd like to talk about
that
it.
That was the phone call that you referred to that didn't go well?
No. That was a bad phone call we had. And then several days later, he sent me an email.
Okay.
Okay, so he, so you guys are talking, and you're thinking what we, what was the impetus for him? I mean, did he feel like he wanted the opportunity to clarify why he was so angry on Twitter that day? He thought he would just explain that to his fans by coming on.
We really, it was like maybe like a 4-word email, and I didn't know what was going to happen. All I knew is that they didn't care about plugging their tour or their album or any of that stuff. He just wanted to clear the air, I guess, or something.
You didn't talk to him backstage before he came out on the show, did you, Jimmy?
No, I don't like to talk to the guests before the show because then I feel stupid when I'm pretending to say hello to them at the beginning.
And the reason I asked that is
you're a method host.
The reason I asked that is because you looked genuinely uncomfortable when he came out and sat down and the interview started. Like, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know what his demeanor is going to be like. And when he came out and was so glum, it looked like it was going to be tough sledding for you.
And yeah, and in parts it was, but yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know. I was like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to give him one of those kind of hugs or... And then I thought, the hell with it. I'm just hugging him with
the did you, was your sense of his body language that he was angry when he came out?
No, I think he was suspicious that I might be up to something.
Oh, really? Like you're going to play some kind of prank on him or something?
Yeah, sometimes people worry about that with me.
Of course, and they should, but he seems like, I don't know, he seemed like he was angry when he came out and sat down.
I don't think he was angry because I don't think he wasn't pushed to come. It was, you know, wasn't one of those things. It was entirely his idea, and he kind of kept his people in the dark, too. I mean, they really didn't know what he wanted to do or what was going on. They just kind of go along with whatever his plan.
That's awesome. What did you want to accomplish with the interview, Jimmy?
Well, I really feel like as hard as it is to believe, I feel like I hurt his feelings, and that is not what I was intending to do. And at first I was like, the hell with him. I mean, you know, I hurt his feelings. He's done this and that. And then I just started thinking about it. I was like, that has nothing to do with me, and it's not what I, you know, want to do. And I always feel bad if I hurt somebody's feelings. It doesn't matter who it is, and I just kind of didn't want that out there.
But did you feel like there may have been a little overreaction to that?
Yeah, but I think he admitted to that. In fact, when I showed the video that upset him, with him sitting next to me, he laughed through the whole thing. You couldn't see it on TV because, you know, the video was on TV, but he laughed through the whole video, which leads me to believe that he was just kind of in a bad state of mind when he saw it, or maybe someone... You know, people can poison you before you see something
somewhere or another.
I don't know what exactly it was, but I think looking at it with fresh eyes in front of an audience made it took it into a different context.
You literally sat down, had no idea what his demeanor was going to be. When you played the clip, you had to have been a little nervous. That's what set the whole thing off.
Yeah, I was. I mean, but it's always more fun when I'm a little bit nervous.
It's the voice of Jimmy Kimmel here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about a couple of nights ago, Kanye West coming on, and they settled their rap feud. Although you didn't end with "We Cool," which I was expecting, Jim. I figured at some point there was going to be some sort of detente to the end, but it's just assumed now that you guys are friends, right?
Well, you know what? I was hoping to do that, but he talked for a long time, and we literally had no time left. It was kind of like, good night. And that was the end of it.
Did he stand up and walk out right away, or...?
No, we chatted briefly, and then he left, and we've been in contact since, and everything's good.
Let's talk about that epic rant, that 8 minutes that he went on where he just talked and you just sat there. Now, I know that must be very difficult for you as a professional interviewer, a guy who's been running his own talk show for a lot of years on TV, to not jump in, to not try to direct him or steer him in the direction or stop him or ask a question. What was going through your mind as you were just watching him vent there at the end, Jim?
Well, I just thought whatever he had to say was going to be more interesting than whatever I had to ask. And you know what? Well, you guys know, when there's a flow, you don't interrupt it.
Yeah, let
and
it go.
It's so rare that there is a flow. I mean, I had a few of the Clippers on last night, and there was no flow.
Right. You get short answers, and you got to use
some interviews are tougher than others.
Yes, exactly. So, and I also thought what he was saying was interesting. I mean, I don't know if it came across on television, but in our studio, everyone, and in fact, even in the green room where typically no one is paying attention to the show. They're drinking and talking and shooting pool and stuff. They said you could hear a pin drop. Everyone was fully locked on to what he was saying. So, you know, the idea of, I mean, the only thing I was worried about is how much time we had left. That's
right.
That
was it difficult for you not to jump in when he went on his little tirade about Kim Kardashian having a star on the Walk of Fame?
Well, that was an uncomfortable moment, and but I will say this: I mean, like, this is his, you know, wife or mother of his child or whatever, and I mean, that is how he should feel. I mean, that's how he should feel. It's kind of sweet, really. I mean, it's, you know, he's protective of her, and I think that's where a lot of his anger or whatever you want to call it comes from, is that, you know, she does, you know what, that's the thing. She takes a lot of jokes. I mean, I made a billion jokes about her.
Right.
They never complain about it. They never, like, have their publicist call and say, oh, you know, we're not coming on the show. They never penalize us by going on other shows or icing us out or anything like
right.
that. And I think the fact that she has such a good attitude about it makes him feel more compelled to defend her. And, you know, I mean, whatever people want to say, this and that, and the Kardashians, whatever, you know, and what I've said many times, like, it is, you know, the woman he loves, and he should be protective of
right.
her.
Right. And let's not lose sight of this fact, Jim, and that is that the Hollywood Walk of Fame was tainted the minute they put your star down anyway. So,
exactly.
I mean, what kind of standards do we have for the star anymore, right?
It's already been soiled.
Let's move on briefly with the great Jimmy Kimmel here on the Kevin DeBean Show to an event tomorrow night. Now, the name Windy City Heat is not going to mean something to everybody listening, but the people who remember that movie from 10 years ago are so excited about this event. It's going to be tomorrow night at the Arc Theater, which is on La Brea in Los Angeles. Tell us a little bit about the movie and who's going to be there and what's going on, Jim.
Have you really been away that long that you now say La Brea?
Yeah, he said La Brea.
What
he
is
did.
That?
He said La Brea. That happened.
La Brea.
That just happened.
I don't
speak your Spanish.
We'll figure all this La Brea stuff out.
I don't speak your Spanish.
This happens to be Saturday night, October 12th, happens to be the exact 10-year anniversary of when we released this movie, which is a prank movie that almost no one has seen, but it's really a cult film in the truest sense. I mean, there's
absolutely
a group of people who, to this day, continue making songs and videos and artwork about it, and we're all coming together with Perry, the guy who the prank is on, at the movie theater on Saturday night, and I'll be doing a Q&A after the screening. But
now,
it should be fun.
Now, the movie came out 10 years ago. How long ago did you start pranking Perry?
16 years ago. and it continues to, I mean, it continues every week.
That's unbelievable.
Day. They do a Mole and Don, and they do a podcast on, I don't know, on podcasts, wherever, on iTunes or whatever, and they screw with him incessantly. And it's really great. It's really like it's my passion project.
It is. This is the one thing we know about Jimmy. Whether it's Tad or it's Perry or it's the Armenian comedian or you know or whoever it is, if Jimmy falls in love with that person, he falls in love with them for life. He never runs out of steam.
Quick Tad story.
Sure.
Quick Tad, who those who've been listening for a long time may remember. Yesterday, ABC sent pizza over for the staff to congratulate us on the Kanye West show and getting a big rating, and the writers came to get it, and there was one slice of pizza left. And later in the day, I got a picture of Tad with five slices of pizza in his hand at once.
That's our boy.
How do you not love that guy?
Tad is working
our boy.
As a security guard there.
Yeah, Jimmy, when you were getting your star on the Walk of Fame, I met him in the back, and he's like, isn't it funny you got to go through me to get to Jimmy?
Very powerful. So the tickets you can get to the movie are on the Jimmy Kimmel Live Facebook page. There's a link. And the movie's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and the doors open at 6. Or you could, you know, I don't know if we'll have any tickets left, but if we do, you could show up at the theater, and it's $20, and there's a Q&A with Perry.
That's going to be fun. Yeah, Perry and Don and Mole and Bobcat Goldthwait, who, of course, plays the director in the movie, and you're going to be moderating it. It's going to be a super fun night to see the movie and then get a chance to talk to all the people involved. Windy City Heat, which is on DVD, by the way. People can still just, if they can't make this event, they can still go on Amazon and buy it, and they should, too.
Yes, but it's a lot of fun to watch it with the guy who the prank is on.
And again, it's at 614 North La Brea.
La Brea.
All right, James, please go put some clothes on, would you?
I will.
We're very uncomfortable with this. Thanks for the time, dude.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 8:55.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph.
I just realized tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv, Rhys Darby's going to be opening up for me.
All right.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
He's my opening act. I'm going to give the kid a shot. I think he's got some talent. I think that's some potential.
It's nice of you.
I'm going to give him a shot.
It's nice of you.
I know you you hate the up-and-coming kids, Ralph.
No, but I love them.
That might be worth getting there early, seeing a little bit of Rhys. He's great.
Oh, no, that's prime drinking time for me. Yeah, I can't be bothered to watch.
That's show prep for Ralph.
That's show prep. I got to guzzle before I get good and juiced before 10 p.m. It is tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the Hollywood Improv. Kevin Smith and I doing our Hollywood Babble On show. We'd love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com or babbleonralph.com to get details and tickets. And, in fact, next hour I'll be giving away some tickets. So. Saturday night. The Improv, of course, Melrose, not too far from La Brea, right there, west of La Brea. So,
I know that was weird. I know Kevin can't appreciate this. He won't know what I'm talking about. But sometimes you're saying something and you think it's going to come out one way, but then it comes out a different way.
That's
you don't
ridiculous.
Say the word that you expect to hear.
That's never happened.
Well, I guess all radio DJs have their moments, like Bob and the Showgram. In Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina.
They're my favorite show in Raleigh-Durham.
Bob and the Showgram being?
Not
openly. I don't know them. I'm very upset that I'm not friends with them. I don't
what?
Know them.
What?
No.
They're in radio.
I thought you knew everyone in radio.
I have other friends in Raleigh-Durham radio, but well, I don't know
sure.
Bob and the Showgram.
We all do. We've all got Skeeter and the Jug Band, right?
Skeeter. The Jug Band is particularly good.
They're very funny, yeah. Anyway, Bob and the Showgram. They were interviewing Paris Hilton because she's trying to become relevant again. So she's released this new song called Good Time, where she goes, I'm tipsy. Have sex with me. I'm tipsy. And she came on to promote her song, and they talked to her about everything but her song.
Yeah.
They said, hey, that movie The Bling Ring, is that really your house where they shot that? And she's like, yeah, that's where they shot. Hey, you did that sex tape where you banged that guy in that video. Was that a good thing for you to do? Here's the question they asked.
You know, a lot of people, Kim Kardashian, a couple other folks, too, started with the sex video. You did, too. Did everybody, you ever wish you didn't do that?
You wish you...
Well, that was not anything to do with me. I just dated a person who was a very sick man who did that, so...
Yeah. You ever wish your boyfriend hadn't released that night vision tape, you enjoying him? So she to her credit, she just dutifully did the interview. But when the interview was over and she thought she was off the air, she had a conversation with her publicist who was listening in apparently on the phone, and she was not happy.
Okay. Ay-yi-yi.
Asshole, I'm never doing that show again.
I've already put in a call to them. I can't believe they just crap up. All right.
You didn't even mention the song.
I told them. I told them twice.
There's the Showgram laughing at the fact that they heard that on the air.
By the way, do publicists ever stop lying? He hadn't already put in a call.
Yeah, I know, it just happened.
He was on the phone with them for the whole call.
I already kicked their ass.
No, I had those guys fired, man. They're not even in the business anymore.
Murdered, P. You're the one. You're the talent, P. Your song rocks.
That's hot.
I didn't mention my song. That's meant to me getting boned.
So, Paris unhappy with that interview.
Guys, we're not going to live in a world where Paris Hilton's album is going to come out and it's going to be successful, are we?
I can't imagine.
Please tell me we're not heading that direction.
I can't imagine.
You couldn't stop me from buying it. Can we get her on? Can we get Paris Hilton on?
Probably not.
I want to ask her no questions except sex tape questions. That one position you're in, was that... You had a cramp there. Was that a cramp or was that an O face? What did you have going on there in that one moment at 2 minutes and 7 seconds in?
That's hot.
I got bound.
Today's celebrity birthday is Joan Cusack. She's 51 years old today. Sean Patrick Flannery was really good in the final season of Dexter, I thought, on that show. He is 48 years old. Luke Perry, 47. Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock, of course, and Ally McBeal, 45 years old. Emily Deschanel, she's bones, don't you know?
She is bones.
All right, just looking for a little
that confirmation. That is correct.
There. She's 37, and Michelle Trachtenberg, very talented actress,
perhaps best still known as Buffy's little sister, 28 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, the cousin Sal. How are you, my friend?
What's happening, Sal?
Well, we just had Jimmy on a few minutes ago telling his side of the story about the big Kanye West interview the other night. What was your impression of that? You were there, of course.
You know what? I thought it was tense. It's probably just as it came across on the air. But out of, like, the time of possession, definitely Kanye, 19:03.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing I took from his interview is that he said the word frustration. And I love
yes,
that.
He does. He does talk about being frustrated a lot.
Yeah, but he leaves out the R.
I think he
leaves the R in his their pants or something. I don't know where it is, but I just love it to death. That will never end.
Yeah, it was definitely the TV event of the season. That was a lot of fun. I just wondered what it's like for you, a guy who works on the show, when Kanye is hulking about backstage. I just wonder if that's a terrifying thing or if it's actually pretty cool.
It's like, but his baby was there, so we had some ransom ideas in our back pocket.
All right, good. Well, Cousin Sal writes about football every week on Grantland.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @TheCousinSal. And, of course, he is one of the great writers and performers on the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. But we have him on every Friday to talk about football. Now, how much longer into the season are we going to continue this farce that you know what you're talking about, Sal, after an 0-3 performance last week?
I was 0-3. I have to admit, I think my mind was in La La Land, or as you would say, La La Land.
All right. Enough with that. Let's talk about this week. The Pittsburgh Steelers. You feel like they're starting to rebound a little bit from their tough start. You've got them over the Jets, taking the 2.5. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I hate this one the most. I don't know what to think of this Jets team. That rookie Geno Smith.
Hey Sal. We're gonna have to hang up and call you right back.
Okay.
Because we have a bad connection. I'm sorry. I can't even understand a word he's saying.
Yeah, we are definitely losing him. Isn't it weird how you can talk to somebody from the same place, and one time it'll sound great, and another time you can't even make it out? So
take a Pittsburgh over the Jets. That's a pretty easy call to not pick the Jets.
Yes, it's always easy. Just in general, that should be your policy.
Just go against the Jets.
But the Steelers have not exactly been, slam dunking it this year.
But that's not his controversial pick. We got to get his controversial pick, which is it's almost comical.
It was a surprise.
Yeah.
It was a surprise to me. By the way, we haven't forgotten that the Dodgers are in the National League playoffs tonight, and we're going to be talking about that coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. We have a very special guest stopping by the studio. I think you're going to want to hear.
All right, Sal, I'm sorry. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Excellent.
You gotta, I know. I was 0-3, but you can't cut me off.
You were 0-3, man.
So much better. All right, you were starting to tell us why you hate this pick that you've made of the Steelers plus 2.5 over the Jets.
It's my most hated pick of the week. Geno Smith is a rookie quarterback for the Jets. He showed a lot of poise. I don't expect it to continue. He's turned the ball over 11 times. The Steelers' defense is going to make him run all day. And here's something. This is a true thing. You might think I'm joking. Coach Tomlin of the Steelers took away the Steelers' game, all their games in the team rec room. Pool, ping pong, and shuffleboard. All gone. True story.
He's so angry he's going to take away their ping pong.
He is. You want to inspire dozens of 300-pound black guys, you take away their shuffleboard.
Isn't that funny, though, that that's what you do to your 4-year-old when he misbehaves?
Yes, right.
You send him to his room without his toys, and that's what they're doing to these guys. That's hilarious.
Exactly. Right. They're going
but
back
you
to
think-
the basics.
You think it's going to work. All right, let's move on to another game that's a little bit of a surprise. The line on this game is the New Orleans Saints over the Patriots. Here in this room, we're thinking the Saints are going to kill the Patriots. You're picking them
too.
Plus 1.5, right?
Yeah, and I know you're not supposed to pick against the Patriots and Bill Belichick, especially after a loss. And then in New England, it's sacrilegious. But there's nothing I don't like about the Saints team. And also, I'm terrible at picking football games, so why not?
There's that.
They're dynamite, the Saints. If not for the Broncos, they'd be the big story this year. They average over 320 passing yards a game. Too many weapons. And on the other side, the Pats are the second worst team in the red zone after the Jaguars. They're not going to be at full strength. Gronkowski might play, but he's not going to be healthy all day. It's too early to pick against the Saints. They're getting 1.5. They win in Foxborough 23-20.
Yeah, there's no question that the Patriots are the least challenged 4-1 team out there. That's for sure. All right, now here's the game that Kevin was referring to as the craziest pick Cousin Sal has ever made. Tell us about the Monday night matchup, Sal.
I knew Kevin would hate this. But
well, it's insane.
But if you watch the Chargers last Sunday night, you want nothing to do with them. They turned the ball over 5 times against the pathetic Raiders. Not smooth at all. And meanwhile, being the Colts, beat up on your Seahawks. I think they got a little lucky, though. Some calls went against your way, and they recovered a fumble in the end zone, would have put you up 17-0. The refs called it a touchback. The Colts are slightly overrated. They rank 30th in the league against the run. I think they're due for a letdown. They travel across a couple time zones for Monday night games. Never easy. Take Indy. Don't take Indy. It's a sucker bet. Take the Chargers, 31-21.
You're saying San Diego over the Indianapolis Colts. That's what you're projecting on our radio show.
Dude, I was 0-3 last
That's
week.
True. It's hard, that's hard to argue with.
All right. Well, I know you hope that you throw these out in the ether, and if you do poorly, we won't remind you of it. But I'm telling you, if we're here next week and the Colts beat the Chargers by like 40 points or something, you're gonna have some splaining to do, Sal.
It's not happening.
Okay. You can read more about all the great picks for the weekend at Grantland.com. Follow Sal on Twitter at TheCousinSal and Jimmy Kimmel Live again tonight, as it is every weeknight on ABC at 11:35. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Windy City Live tomorrow night. We'll see you soon.
You too, fellas. Thanks.
Hey, Los Angeles Dodger outfield sensation Yasiel Puig.
Hey, chico, how you doing, man? Yasiel Puig. Hey.
What do you think about Velvet Schmitz of Rolling Hills Estates winning tickets to go see 30 Seconds to Mars this weekend?
Velvet Schmitz is very good, chico. Listen to me. Velvet Schmitz, she got on my lap the other day at the Spearman Rhino. She grind up on me. I was celebrating after I win a game. You know what I'm saying? National League, Divisional Championship, we're ready. Okay? You know, Velvet Schmitz, you come sit on right here on my lap.
She's going to be seeing
I put the lime in the coconut. I shake them both up.
30 Seconds to Mars at the Hollywood Bowl tomorrow night. And then firm banana. And then here at K-Rock at the Red Bull.
Listen to me,
space.
Baby. What's your name, baby?
My name's Lisa.
You're not Velvet Schmitz, are you?
No, I'm not.
Hey, Lisa.
Yes.
I got a ripe banana.
I got that.
Ripe banana.
You have to talk face? That close to her?
I do what I want, huh?
All right.
Listen, chico. You know who I am? Yasiel Puig. I make the rain. I'm popping bottles.
Oh, my God. That's disgusting.
That's right.
Don't you have to get to St. Louis? Aren't you playing in the championship series game one tonight against the Cardinals?
Hey, first of all, you know what I tell people? I say, meet me in St. Louis. Hey, who's with me?
Oh, boy.
Because that's a Judy Garland movie from the 40s?
Hey!
Come on now.
If I can Cuba... Listen, hey, B.
That's going to ruin this electronics.
B.
Yes, back in Cuba, a lot of times we don't have
movies that are current in United States of America. So I watch a lot of movies from the 40, the 50, the 60, the 70. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
That's aren't you supposed to be in St. Louis, though?
Let me tell you a story about St. Louis.
The game does start at 5:37.
Let me tell you a story about the Cardinal, okay? Because I'm Yasiel Puig.
Right. Yes, you are. He comes with his own jingle, by the way.
Yasiel Puig. By 1991, I was a little boy.
Little boy, you're just a kid.
Just
right?
a little baby boy, a little chico like this, baby. Mm-hmm. What's your name again?
Lisa.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You know what happened?
I know about the banana.
Don't move over toward her. Just stay where you are.
You have a nice crimson colored daiquiri, a daiquiri of desire. And it's in Japan. And I have the straw. Yes, okay, Puig.
What does this have to do when you were
who wants a daiquiri of desire?
Said, no, but you said you were one. You were telling us a story about being one in Cuba.
My grandpa.
Yeah.
Okay, my abuela. He was a farmer. He grew banana.
Okay.
Right. Back to the bananas.
My grandma, my abuelita, mm-hmm. uh-huh. she grew the papaya.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
So far, we're with you.
And my grandpa, he come up to me. He was one of these men, you know. He ride a big horse.
Right.
Big horse, and he stand like this very stately.
Right.
And he says to me, "Hello, Yasiel. Remember, I grow the banana. Your grandma grow the papaya. When the banana is very firm, it is ripe and ready. You go to the papaya when it is juicy. The papaya become very juicy. And then you take the banana and crush the juicy papaya. St. Louis Cardinal, they are juicy papaya. I got a big ripe banana
right here for them. Okay.
Big ripe banana in my pants. Just you, Puig, for the juicy papaya.
Right.
St. Louis Cardinal.
Here we go again.
Hey, it's raining, it's pouring, you're still Puig in the house.
You certainly waste a lot of champagne, Yasiel.
You know
why?
That. I'm rich.
You're very rich.
I got a whole trunk full of my Rolls Royce.
Right. Can I ask you another question about your behavior? Why do you rip the jerseys off of all of the players?
You know why?
I mean, there's really no one else ripping them off, just you.
You know why?
Why?
Because you're still Puig.
Ti lo bistime.
Right.
Hey, and every one of my teammates, okay? Doribe, Itia, Mackem, Claire Kershaw, they all have beautiful body.
Right.
Beautiful body, and I like it when they get wet with champagne. Pop! I make a ring. Okay?
How many bottles did you bring?
I brought 27 bottles. I'm just getting started. Everyone, I open them up with my ripe banana. You know what I say?
I was afraid we were going back to the banana.
Yeah, my ripe banana get nice and brown, but it ain't spotty. Right, okay. Listen, let me tell you another story.
We don't have time for another story.
My little sister.
Okay. Yes, your little sister.
Her name was Manuela.
Hey, Yasiel, have you met Lisa right here?
Lisa, hey. Is that you right there?
Yeah, look into
my
eyes. Right,
you're a beautiful lady.
Thank you. You have a lot of champagne.
That's right.
And a good banana.
That's right. And I got a special bottle of champagne for you. Okay? All the other bottles, they go for the I make it rain with the bottles. You know what I'm saying? It comes raining from the sky.
What happened to your sister?
Hey, hold on. You quiet down over there. You with the big head.
I was waiting for the story.
I got a special bottle for you.
What does that bottle do?
And it's got roofies inside.
Oh, that's right. You should tell me that.
You go to sleep. This is you. This is Yasiel Puig.
No, inappropriate. That's inappropriate.
And then you know what I do?
You shouldn't
I make
like
it rain
that.
Again, but this time it's no champagne. Yasiel Puig.
Oh, stuck with the sister story.
What? You didn't want to hear that story about my sister? How
we were dying to hear it an hour ago.
I was walking in a meadow.
Right?
A beautiful part of Cuba.
Uh-huh.
It was in the city of Calahuacanase.
What's the city?
The city of Calahuacanase.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a beautiful meadow.
A meadow.
You were walking in the meadow.
Like Soprano.
Meadow Soprano.
Okay, gotcha. Nice.
All right.
the only meadow I know.
It's a strange right.
And I was walking in the meadow with a burro and my sister. And Fidel Castro came.
Okay.
This is back in Cuba. Mm-hmm. And he was smoking a B cigar. Mm-hmm. He says to me, Yasiel Puig.
He has to sing it?
That's right.
Wow.
But even back then, he knew I was going to be a superstar. He says, Yasiel Puig. I'm going to take your sister and prove a point with her.
Okay.
That Mother Cuba is the most supreme place. And he tied her up in a sugar field.
Okay.
Like Jesus Cristo.
Right.
And he covered her in sugar cane.
Oh, okay.
And I had to watch as rats ate my sister to death.
This is a terrible story. That's a terrible story.
I know.
Well, why?
Why are you telling us?
You were just popping champagne celebrating.
It is not a very happy story. But it is the type of story that sticks with you, is it not?
It does stick with you.
If you watch your sister be eaten by rats for days and days. And if I tried to get her down, there was militia there to shoot at me.
Right.
And I said, what can I do? It's okay.
It was all right. You didn't care?
My aunt's a hooker still in Cuba. You want to go to Havana?
I don't. Not
she make it rain. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Hey.
All right, listen. You got to get to the airport or wherever you're going to get to St. Louis. But good luck with you and the Dodgers tonight. Good luck in the National League Championship Series. Hope you make it to the World Series. I hope
come
you see you again.
Come a little bit closer. You're my type of man. So big, so strong. You're looking good, baby. You have beautiful teeth.
It's all right.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
You
have beautiful you. Teeth. Do thank they like you. Sausage? You want to chomp on a sausage?
Oh, God.
Oh, how about a ripe banana? Yes, you bring me a ring.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38. Hey, before Ralph does the showbiz beat here, Lisa May has an appearance this weekend she wants to invite us to.
Yes, I do. It's the Wildlife Learning Center in Sylmar. They're having their annual safari social this Saturday from 4 to 7. I'm going to go. They raise money for all these animals that they care for. They care for wild animals that
this
have
isn't
been
to put dogs
injured.
In clothes or anything, is it?
No. And you don't come naked either.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Well, between the two,
I know.
Just saying.
Tough, right?
What kind of animals?
But
do they
it's
have?
Really cool. They have two bald eagles now. If you've ever been like 3 feet away from a bald eagle, that is amazing. They have a fennec foxes. They have porcupines. This giant python. They have a Lola the sloth, and you can get up and close and personal with all these animals. It's a really cool
he
event.
Would just hover over the sloth.
Yeah, the sloth.
I want
really
one so badly.
I do want a sloth. Sloths are awesome.
They
all
really
right.
are.
Real quick, where again and when?
So go to wildlifelearningcenter.com to buy tickets. It's tomorrow from 4 to 7, and it's a really good time, and your kids will love it too.
Fantastic. All right, Ralph is here now. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat for a week of Kevin and Bean shows. What's going on?
Should have those bald eagles talk to Beer Mug's friend Ryan. They could hook him up there.
Grow some hair.
Rogaine, work.
Ryan, by the end of football season, it'll be good to see.
I like your impression of Beer Mug.
Spectacular douchebag.
Since we're talking about things to go to and see and do, tomorrow night, Kevin Smith and I are going to be at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose doing Hollywood Babylon. This is the last Babylon for a couple weeks. We're going to take some time off, so if you've been wanting to check it out, tomorrow night at 10 p.m., Saturday night 10 p.m. would be the night to do it. It's at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose, 10 p.m. You can get your tickets by going to improv.com or babylonralph.com or call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. Two lucky listeners, and lucky is not guaranteed, by the way.
Right. That's
who knows what the show's going to be
like. That's
tomorrow.
A hope.
Depends on how loaded I get and how high Smith is. But two lucky listeners will get a pair of tickets to come see Hollywood Babylon tomorrow night, a rare Saturday night show, Saturday at 10 p.m. at the Improv in Hollywood.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or?
Yeah, I do, actually. Got this email from Kanye West. I was kind of shocked.
Oh.
This email came to me today. Ralph, I think Paris Hilton deserves a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She changed TV forever with her reality show, Kanye West. So I guess he thinks like his...
Really championing
his
that.
Girlfriend, she should get a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That's hot.
They don't deserve stars in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, by the way. I was surprised how surprised Kanye West was that he thought Kim Kardashian should get a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Well, I mean... On one hand, they are nationally known for being on TV.
Yeah, but usually you have to achieve something. You have to have done something.
I hear you.
Other than just, the cameraman maybe for that show should get a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame because he does all
the
work.
Or the producer.
He just follows them around with a camera.
You're forgetting.
Oh, Paris, yeah.
Forgetting this. Because I'm having a good time. And I might be a bit tipsy. Okay, cause you're with me. Yeah. Forgot about that song. That must have been a moment of party.
It was a moment of party with that Paris Hilton. She is a moment of party. Speaking of singing, MTV has announced their latest reality/competition show. It's a singing competition show. Finally, someone has come up with a clever idea.
Wait, so they sing and they compete against
people
other?
People compete against each other via the art of singing.
Well, that's weird.
But there's a hook. This is a twist.
Yeah. Let me guess.
All right.
They sing on a stage that's at a 22-degree incline?
No, that'd be awesome if they did that. But no, it's not.
They have two people singing different songs at the same time.
No, that'd be good, too.
Right?
You try to plug one ear and try to stay on key.
Keep. They have to sing Being Lowered from the Ceiling just above a shark tank while Steve-O yells at them.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That'll never happen.
It's the best show ever.
This is called Copycat. On MTV.
Copycat.
And the singers will compete by doing their best to sound exactly like the recording artist who recorded the original that they're singing. It is so literally karaoke come
it's just
full
impressions
fruition.
Of doing impressions of singers?
Yes.
You could win this.
Yeah, I could.
You could win this game.
I could break out a little Neil Diamond and crush their asses.
Bob little Cher? You own Cher?
Yeah, sure.
Bob Dylan, you got a lot of them.
Oh,
Michael Jackson?
I'm a star on this show. Yeah, it'll be a half an hour show where you'll compete against other singers trying to sound like the person who did the original.
That's a terrible idea.
What point does that become pointless?
At the beginning. I can't imagine.
How are you evaluating someone who's singing who's just trying to sound like the other person who did that? That's what karaoke is, right?
Yeah, it's karaoke. That's what it is.
I mean, you always made fun of American Idol saying that was karaoke.
And I can't do that unless I'm drunk.
This is really karaoke.
Yeah, this is true karaoke.
So if you step up there and you sound 80% like Beyonce, but somebody else sounds 85% like Christina, they win?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a show.
It sure is. We're all looking forward to it. And since we're talking about music news, this shocked me and disturbed me. A popular feminist blog has gotten a lot of attention this week by calling Lorde a racist.
What?
Says she's a racist because she says Lorde makes references to luxury goods typically promoted by black rappers. When in her song Royals, when she's talking about diamond-encrusted watches and Cristal and Maybachs.
I thought she was talking about the Royals.
Really? Did you?
I don't know.
You've got to listen more carefully.
Never gave it another thought.
Yeah, the song is about singer-songwriters people who say everything's about a diamond,
right?
Trusted timepiece and a tiger on a leash and Maybach. We're not like that. We don't have that kind of money, so we don't think that way. Our music is about different kinds of things.
Got it.
And so this woman says because Lord is targeting particular things like Cristal and diamond-encrusted wristwatches and Maybachs, that she is racist and she's attacking blacks.
But wait, those are just rich people things. Bieber goes out and buys all those same things, and he's white.
No, Bean.
If you're in the music industry, you make a ton of money, or if you're an athlete and you take a ton of money, you just go out and buy crazy stuff. That's what she's making fun of.
Maybachs, gold teeth, everything she talks about is black.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
That's just a pointless accusation.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
If she's talking about a culture that glorifies wealth and things and bling and stuff, owning stuff, overfeeling stuff, overdoing stuff.
Yeah.
How is that possibly an attack on a race? It's just those particular people who sing about those particular things.
Well, there are, as we know, Ralph, there are some people who look for racism. I mean, that's their goal when they wake up in the morning, is look for things that they can be offended by because they think they're racist.
Yeah. Lord, as you can imagine, was surprised about the attack. She said the single is meant to be a rumination on wealth disparities. You know, people who have not, and it you know, it's about... It's not attacking a single group. It's about a different kind of lifestyle, that's all. Someone who values love and things of the emotional aspect versus things of the material aspect.
Yep.
So.
Is it a black guy?
Yeah, it was a black guy, said that. Sad news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
Birthday. It's my candle blowing birthday.
It's been a while. I'm just so sick of Halloween spook. I can't.
It was a busy
one more
day.
Time. All day long. You played it all day yesterday, today, the day before.
It's too much, isn't it?
Really? I mean, I love the song, but you're just overdosing us being with
what
just way too much
to
Halloween
do
spooks.
When we the song ends and we have
you.
A guest on the phone in the studio, what are we supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do? Maybe play the song once in a while.
Okay. You know, it is funny. It's like someone who fights hard for his right to vote and then never votes again.
That's you.
That is
that
you.
That is me.
Look,
you're doing the right thing.
It's not that I don't love Halloween spooks or that I don't want to play Halloween spooks. We just have a very tight show a lot of days. That's
we don't. Our show is sloppy and messy.
At best.
It's all over the place all the time.
And then you come in and it's, you know, you have 4 minutes to do your report. I don't want to eat into your time by playing the. So I have no spot to put it that we can make time for.
I'm good with that. All is good with the world.
I'm not good with that. I need some
Halloween
spooks.
I will try harder next week. I apologize. I accept your scorn.
You're just bad.
For a lot of reasons, though.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Joan Cusack is 51 years old today. Sean Patrick Flannery turns 48. Luke Perry of 90210 fame is 47. Jane Krakowski. She was on 30 Rock so successfully on that show. 45 years old. Emily Deschanel. Bones.
Bones, indeed.
37 years old. Michelle Trachtenberg celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday with Stephen Young from The Walking Dead.
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
I wish.
Just the things are
gonna
happen. Don't
bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Halloween spoof, that's on the window.
This is not a good mashup.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I got my tree.
Not like
pass it over to me. Roll another one.
Halloween spooks, that's on my window.
Just like the other one.
Oh my god, oh god.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Yeah!
And I need another hit.
For what? A few dollars? A few dollars, is that it? A few dollars, ooh yeah, okay. Money, 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 money! Well, you know what? Money's not gonna get you by your way to heaven.
Roll another one.
some sad news in the world of radio.
Just like the other one.
What it is, soul brother?
This one seems to be about sentiment.
It's dumb. I can't believe you guys are supporting it.
I don't have another cent.
Hey, I don't know about you, but they're not exactly winning me over with these lousy production values here.
And how often have you used it?
Just pass it around.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
When the walls are that giant, my friend.
The stakes have been made.
I just pass it on down.
Woo! Right, guys?
Ooh, hey, boss man. I want to go home early. Oh, hold on. Actually, hang on. Yeah, no. I want to quit and never come here again. Okay, bye.
Woo. Great piece, my man.
Thank you very much.
You nailed it.
Yeah, I usually do. Thank you, man.
Nailed it.
Really, I appreciate that, Derek. Thanks, my man.
Woo. My man.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's how we